you, people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlante.
Yes.
On 720 WGN. How about that?
Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. Yes. One and all.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Did you see the Mayor-elect Lightfoot is calling on Tony Preckwinkle to return the cash from that Ed Burke fundraiser? Remember that? The $116,000? She said that she would do it. And Lori Lightfoot is reminding her, remember you said you were going to do that? Remember? Remember? You made that commitment?
Oh, it's on now. It's on. It's like, we have found ourselves now, and I think Lori Lightfoot is going to be a very interesting experience for the first couple of months of her administration. As I think some prisoners are going to be taken before this is all said and done.
Well, you're used to reporters reminding politicians, remember when you said you'd return that money that you got at the fundraiser at Ed Burke's house, but it just tells you there's a new sheriff in town when
right.
You hear from a mayor-elect saying this of a fellow candidate.
You know, whatever you think of Donald Trump as a human or a politician or whatever, he has without question changed the way, for better and for worse, politicians behave.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a guy who is always on aggressive stance. He doesn't sit back, you know, that whole, everybody knows he was going to punch twice as hard as somebody else. You know, that was that's his whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing right now in around the country. You're seeing people in Washington, other congressmen and senators doing it. You're seeing candidates for, you know, whether it was, you know, for the Supreme Court or whatever, you know, punch back. Everybody's punching back. Whereas there used to be sort of a gentlemanly rule about all of these things, right? That was like, well, you know, I don't want to say too much because I don't know when they're going to say something bad about me.
Right.
And now it's like, look out!
Well, you're used to seeing politicians, particularly of the same political party, coalesce around each
yeah.
other and then sort of help each other and be on the same team.
Yeah, not even we're used to that. Here. Well, I'm going to tell you that I think that the Tony Preckwinkle wing of the Democratic Party of Chicago is the very end of the machine. You know, the machine has been sort of falling apart throughout the years, but the, you know, the Burke-Madigan machine as it sort of became, they started to lose interest. They got older, you know. It was harder, you know. It was like Vito Corleone, you know, chasing the kid around the grapes in the backyard. It was, you know, sort of like, you know, it was kind of the way that I thought. Or when Vito Corleone is sitting with Michael and he's trying to explain the business to him,
mm-hmm. The people that come to you with this offer, they're going to be the ones who want to kill you. You know,
that kind of thing,
right?
That sort of thing. Hey, you know, I get old. I can't remember things so much anymore. And that's mm-hmm. exactly where they are. So they left Tony Preckwinkle in charge of this. And this really wasn't this. She's not the person that could really pull this thing off. And now she's falling apart. And the whole and Kim Fox has certainly created a gigantic headache for her by being, legal fabulous or whatever the hell she is. And sort of the combination of celebrity and legal fabulous. And now you got this whole thing falling apart. And here comes Lori Lightfoot. And again, we don't really know where she's going to end up on policy and enforcement and all the rest of those things. But it doesn't really matter anymore. We just want somebody who's going to go.
Well, I think we know that she is a true reformer. And I think that she has every intention of reforming. And that includes people of power who may not be falling under that umbrella of doing things the old way, the old mm-hmm. school way. That she's talking about. She's laying out her plan for the aldermanic prerogative. And she gives details on what she wants to do.
Uh-oh. So, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
It wasn't just something she talked about on the campaign. Turns out, you know, she was serious about doing that.
The only problem with that is that there are 50 aldermen. And they're going to have to vote to give themselves less power. And my guess is that that ain't going to happen. I think there's 26 of them.
She wants to issue an executive order at the end of May. Oh, no. On her inauguration day, May 20th,
mm-hmm.
ending the rule that virtually gives them iron-fisted control over zoning and permitting in their wards. I think that's the piece of it that has led to, as we're seeing right now, federal scrutiny And
so you're getting scrutinized.
There's a scrutiny going on.
Yeah, as Mayor Daley once said, I think she can do it by executive order, but then they can sue her because I think that's a violation of the freedom of the legislators. Now, Chicago, you know, it's so funny because Chicago's never run under any of the provisos of the Constitution of the United States of America. So I don't know to what degree there is a separation issue there in a legislative versus executive separation in the incorporation articles of the city of Chicago. So I'm talking out of my keister here. But I would guess that there will be some aldermen are going to try to, you know, create a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say.
I'm sure there'll be some strong pushback.
We should get one of those goofs on one of those fine legislators on the show to explain that to us. How are they gonna feel about that?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Now what?
As long as they keep control of their, slush fund is the wrong word, but they get an allotment to be able to spend basically as they please in their ward, and I think that's also, you know, that's control. So if you don't touch that, but you go after zoning, will that be okay? I don't know.
Well, I want to tell you, in your life and in your family and stuff, you've had people involved in this, you know, to build buildings. And this is, it's a really, or people want to start businesses. I cannot tell you how many legitimate business people.
Mm-hmm.
Come into Chicago, whether they're from here and they're just starting a business in Chicago for the first time, or they come in from out of town and they're like, oh my God, you got to do what to start a business? It is. It's sort of like the next thing you know, it's like sitting at the social club with the Sopranos. It's like a bada bing. You have to sit at a bar with a bunch of, you know, the aldermen, and the aldermen, first of all, when you get in there, they hug you. Right? To make sure you're not wearing a wire. And now the FBI is even better at it. They take your glasses off your head. They take your phone.
Those won't do. No.
They take, right? This mm-hmm. is getting, next yep. thing you know, you're standing there.
Naked.
Shirts and skins. You're just, you know, you're sitting in a strip bar naked right. halfway. And you're like,
then they're like, where's your bag of cash?
Yeah. And they'll go, oh, you want to open up a business in my ward. Well.
It is funny to see people from out of town, like you mentioned, come in and try to, you know, do a project just like they've done in other cities before. And they'll say, well, wait a minute, I put in my request for a permit, but I haven't heard anything for 4 months, 5 months. They're like, oh, you don't have a guy.
Right. You either don't have a guy, which you could just get a guy, and then you meet that guy at Gibson's, and that's fine. And then you meet him at the bar at Gibson's, and then you meet that guy, and then you have a little conversation with the guy, and then that guy goes and handles the whole thing for him. And that guy doesn't work for the government. We don't know who that guy works for.
He just goes into the shadows.
Right.
That guy.
Very best not to ask who that guy is or who he works for.
No.
He just was told, all right, you need to help me with this, I got to help you with that. Okay, it's fine. And it depends on the kind of business you're in. And some guys are, you know, some guys are wearing T-shirts, leather jackets, and gold chains, and other guys are wearing suits. And you just don't know.
They have those too.
But if you're just a business guy and you're legitimately going to the office of the alderman and you're asking for something, the alderman doesn't even want to answer questions in front of you because they figure that you're wired up or the office just got wired up. They didn't. If they've never seen you before,
no, they don't answer.
And you
questions.
Show up and you're like, hey, can I'm told I got to come to your office to talk about the zoning. Who told you that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What do you mean? This is not my office. This is not me. I'm not here. They have a button where, Mayor Daley used to have this where you'd be talking to him,
uh-huh.
and then you turn to look to your right just for a second, and then you look back and he's gone.
He disappear.
I always believed that he always knew where to stand, where there was a trap door underneath the floor, and he could just disappear. Aldermen have that, too.
Oh, they totally do. And Mike Madigan's the best at that. Try to, grab him in Springfield to ask for a comment sometimes, and he finds little secret doors that no one knows exists in the state capitol building, and whoop, where'd he go?
Abraham Lincoln used that door once.
All right. I didn't know there was a door.
Hold on. Oh, well, you know what? Then I think it's going to be very fun and very interesting here with Mayor Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to tell you right now. I think it's going to, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out. I hope it does. The city definitely needs some... It needs some development. It needs some change. It needs a relook at a lot of the problems that we've got here, and you know, maybe fresh eyes on it. And you know, it hurt telling Tony Preckwinkle, you know, where to go. I love the idea of that.
It surprises me a bit, just because I haven't seen that before. Yeah. Don't recall that, but it's happening. And then the feds are also just saying they need a little more time to seek their indictment against Alderman Burke. So we got that going on. Nothing to worry about.
Listen, Slim, there's a new sheriff in town. I think is what just happened over at the county board. All right, hold on. Don't anybody move. Ben Bradley is going to join us here in just a moment. We're going to celebrate something with Ben simultaneously here. It's very, very important. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, no indictment for Alderman Ed Burke just yet. Prosecutors asking for another delay.
Uh-oh. Illinois Department of Transportation brings you Lauren's traffic.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Oh, Ben Bradley.
This is a...
Yes.
Interesting song.
Very important moment here.
Aww. I had no idea you even knew, remembered, or cared.
Happy
Actually,
birthday, Ben.
I did not remember, nor do I care. But I do know that today is Ben Bradley's birthday, and I was told that just 2 minutes ago by our producers, and that's why I'm celebrating.
Oh, how sweet of you, Ro. That was nice of you to remember you. 2 minutes ago. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thankfully, I work with far more caring people than you, Ro.
What did they do for you over there?
Sam Julian, our 5 o'clock producer, knows that I'm a bit of an aviation geek, and she baked for me the most beautiful cake in the shape of an airplane.
Oh.
That's talent.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Awesome. I just heard her say that's overselling it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hey, Sam, they heard you say that's overselling it.
Yeah.
I just posted a picture of it on the Insta.
Let me take a look.
And you will tell me whether or not it's oversold.
Okay.
Sam is like our den mother of the newsroom. She bakes for everybody's birthday. She keeps track of it. She always has staples in her stapler. She's the best.
Now, you didn't put it on Twitter, just put it on Instagram?
It's just on the Insta, yep.
Without the wings, it looked like something else.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I think it looks great. Nice.
Everything inappropriate.
See,
it's
I'm
so cute.
I'm trying to think here. Hold on, I got
it. It's so very nice.
Cute.
Okay, picture a Cessna without a propeller on it.
See, that's what I was afraid of. All right, hold on a second. Here we go.
Hey, Sam, they're now making disparaging comments about the aviation design of your cake.
Okay, it's...
We don't think it'll actually take flight.
It looks like the Biden 2020 logo.
It kind of
does. Like the Biden 2020 logo.
Yeah, that's sort of what it looks like.
It's and that's not front. Getting great reviews.
No.
No.
No, because people are saying that the Biden 2020 video looks like a guy's hand over a woman's boobs. Have you seen
Uncle
that?
Joe is back.
Yeah, Uncle Joe, here we go.
Who needs a shoulder massage?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know what? I think it's lovely that she did that for you. It shows a lot more commitment to you than we're showing right now. So that's all good.
Thank you for acknowledging
You're
that.
Welcome.
Acceptance is the first step in overcoming, Ro.
Yes.
One day, I hope you are cared for as much by someone that you work with. I've met a lot of the people you work with, and I often hear what they say about you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, my friend, there is no cake in your future.
Yeah, no. No, not one that I would be willing to eat.
Yeah, and if somebody does give you cake, don't eat it.
Yeah.
No, what is that taste? I think it's X-Lax.
I know. I know. Mmm. Oh, it's good. Mmm. I would just like to say, though, that we take our birthdays around here very seriously.
Oh
really?
Big parties.
Yeah,
kinda. Big parties.
Pinata.
Unless I forget them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very nice.
Bounce house.
Right.
Ooh, a bounce house.
Yep.
We've done that a few times.
We should come over there by WGN Studios. You've got all these little kitty birthday party places.
Yeah, we've got the grass out front. Yeah, we could do a game truck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Donkey.
Think about that.
We could bring that donkey that was wandering around on the expressway.
He's probably signed it. He probably has an Insta account by now.
Probably. How about that guy that shows up at your house with an alligator or a crocodile or whatever that thing is?
Ferret?
No, this guy. This guy's got like this gigantic, like 100-pound crocodile that he takes to children's parties.
Oh my gosh!
Really?
Yeah.
And you just envision that the crocodile, when it's not at children's parties earning the guy money, it's like living in his bathtub with a big plank over.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know
if he doesn't get out.
All I know is it just it sits there, and like every once in a while, I'll walk in. It's been in radio studios, on TV shows. Sometimes you walk on the set, and all of a sudden, whoa, wait a second.
That's true. It does show up on all the TV sets.
Right. Yeah. And it's just sitting there looking at you, and you're like, and it's doing the math. It's like,
right.
How far do I have to get to after I eat them? How much time do I have to get away from everybody to get back to my guy?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's just waiting for like the midday news in Decatur to like bite off a TV anchor's hand who gets a little too close. They're going to appearance.
What do you got coming up on the news?
Well, we're covering, obviously, this ammonia spill up in Beach Park in the northern suburbs this morning. What a wild story. 37 people injured, 7 of them in critical condition, including a firefighter. Their injuries may be life-threatening. It looks like a farmer was pulling 2-ton tanks of anhydrous ammonia, and there was apparently a faulty valve, or the valve wasn't sealed, and so as this farmer's pulling this stuff down the road, it's leaking everywhere.
Oh, man.
And there was a cloud of the chemical in the air, and this can be deadly, so there's quite a bit of fear up there. The chemical itself has been contained, but as we said, still a lot of people in very difficult shape, hospitalized after that leak this morning. Also, new disturbing details coming out of that court appearance for the parents of A.J. Friend.
Just a heartbreaking story.
You know,
this poor little boy.
The details have come out, and now you stop and you stop and you think about the journalistic responsibility, the ethical responsibility to tell the story. And then you hear the details. And you cannot, I can't bear bringing it up or thinking, wanting to discuss it, because it's horrifying. I mean, it is what these people did to this child in the end is it's beyond, they did it in concert. They did it together, and I thought, how did two people think this was a good idea?
And according to prosecutors, they did it 3 days before they reported AJ missing. So, that 911 call, the looking for him, all of it was a charade, according to prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see that mom in the courtroom this morning, 7 months pregnant with another child.
Right. Well, they say that DCFS is already on it, and that child will likely be taken into their custody.
Well,
making
she's,
arrangements.
Yeah, I mean, she's
going to
be in prison.
That.
So,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. She will. If I cannot imagine, if convicted, cannot imagine her ever being free again.
No.
You know, I mean, the details are as horrifying as they get. There are people that need to be separated from society forever, and however that takes place. This, if proven to be true, is one of those cases. Without question. Amazing. Amazingly awful stuff.
Yep.
All right. All right. So you got that going. Are they going to be celebrating your birthday on the set that
boy,
you know?
I hope not. But I can tell you who we will be celebrating. Speaking of good coworkers, Lourdes Duarte today received the DePaul University Distinguished Alumni Award from the Journalism and Communications Program there. And you know
well
who
deserved.
The other award winner was?
Hmm.
The executive editor of the New York Times. So she's in good company. And you know who showed up to honor Lourdes today?
Huh?
Steve Cochran.
Thanks, Ro.
Ro,
nice
you didn't
show.
Show
up.
You gotta tell him 2 minutes before he can make it.
Right. I didn't. I mean, did she call? The last thing I heard from Lourdes was from her lawyer. Now, you're going to have to stay at least 500 feet away from my client. I don't know. It's weird. All right, I would like to say that she's very deserving, without question.
Absolutely.
Without question.
What an honor.
Yeah. Now
cool.
I'm wondering whatever happened. They can't call me. Like at Denison can't call me and have me come back for some sort of an award.
Pride at Denison.
What did I do? What did I do wrong?
Did you graduate from their PE program, or what was your degree in again, Ron?
Excuse me. It's in a degree. People always ask me that, and I tell them, they go, "What are you going to do with that?" Which is exactly what my parents said when I declared it. What are you going to do with that?
Well, I will never forget calling my dad from the University of Missouri and saying, "Dad, I'm majoring in broadcast journalism and minoring in African-American studies." And my dad, World War II, goes, "Great, two things you'll never make a blanking dime at."
Practical guy.
See, we proved them all wrong, Ben. That's
what
we did. Yeah,
we got two dimes.
Yeah. All right,
and
thank you,
cake.
Sir. Yes.
Free cake.
Yes, and cake that looks a little suspicious. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
All right, Kim
thank
Gordon.
You, Anna.
Has the news brought to you by Arkadek.
I'm asking quickly, if you are the best choice for the Democrats in 2020, why didn't President Obama endorse you?
I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
All right, there you go. There's Smokin' Joe right there.
He asked him not to.
Yeah.
Don't endorse me. Why would you need President Obama to endorse you?
I don't need it. Well, Natasha Kareki is joining us, and Natasha Kareki, longtime Chicago journalistic legend, and now national correspondent for Politico, and you're handling the 2020 beat for Politico. You'll be traveling all over the planet Earth trying to figure out what the hell these people are doing. And I kind of think that Obama, I seem to recall this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that Barack Obama said he was not going to be endorsing anybody early in this field.
Yes, he absolutely said that. It's very difficult to believe that, you know, Biden proactively asked, you know what, I don't really need your backing, former president, the most popular figure in the Democratic establishment right now. Obama has from the very beginning of his primary, when, you know, Elizabeth Warren first one to launch in January, said he was going to stay out of it. One thing that was interesting, though, is today someone with the Obama camp told us that he's not going to endorse early on. So it definitely left the door open to the former president weighing in later on. So if it's a tight race, you know, someone the establishment doesn't want versus someone the establishment does want, you can see maybe Obama stepping in. They definitely left the door open for that.
You look at it seems that he's, you know, he's getting some pushback from members of his own party in that he is a centrist and he doesn't speak to that sort of left part of the party. But it was very interesting to see how he positioned himself in the video message he put out. We're in the battle for the soul of this nation. And he talked about going after the values that we stand for as a nation, clearly talking about what we have now is not the answer, and that, you know, I'm the one who can win this. I'm the one who can beat him. And that'll be an interesting to see how far that goes over some of the other candidates who are newer with fresher ideas.
Right. You know, one thing that he did, you know, some of the people we talked to today, you know, said he did effectively was kind of avoid any talk about he's this old white guy in, you know, in a field of lots of, like, as you said, historically diverse fields, women, people of color. He did not go there. Just went straight, somewhat aggressively, right to Trump. Like, this is the problem that I see, and I am the person who will calmly address it. And that's, you know, that's where he's positioning himself as the antidote to Trump.
I notice CNN bending over backwards, you know, because CNN wants to highlight all these people when they announce that they're going to run. Eventually, they're going to start going after people, too. But but so that in the sort of the birthday, everybody gets a birthday party at CNN when they announce. And so he got this birthday party. Mm-hmm. And it was, and then they were showing the polling of who in the Democratic Party as a whole, or when it came to Joe Biden, would you vote for somebody over the age of 75?
That's two people, right?
Right.
Biden and Bernie.
Right. And so they were like, well, 33% of the electorate says that it would not. But you know, that still leaves 66% that would. And you're like, and I'm thinking to myself, well, is Trump 74, right? What is he? He's like, he's somewhere up in that range, mm-hmm. right? So it's like over 70, over 75. 72. All right. So he's in that. So it's, you know, guys in their 70s. I don't think that's necessarily going to be the determining factor here, because I think there's enough water under the bridge. There's enough portfolio now by Donald Trump in terms of his, you know, we know what he is, right? Everybody, I think there are a lot of people who voted for him and thought, well, he's not going to do all the stuff he says he's going to do. That would be crazy. And yet he, you know, it was even wackier than people anticipated. So the people who love that, his, you know, 33%, his core, those folks will definitely be, you know, in on the, it, you know, will be with him, whatever. It's the people mm-hmm. that are in the middle, or the people who were disaffected Democrats who didn't like Hillary, or people who were moderate Republicans who are like, well, there's no way I'm going to vote for Hillary, mm-hmm. so we'll just give it a shot here. I think those people are lost to Donald Trump right now. And the question is, does Joe Biden pick them up? And in this field of socialists, communists, agitators, and all the rest that are there, and Pete Buttigieg, I think they may be they may be the ones that it's kind of a default for him, is it not?
Well, for sure, Biden thinks that this is not just what he can bring back, but he believes that this is his sweet spot. He thinks he's like the Midwest, disaffected, working class, whisperer. He is the person who can speak to the population.
Talk to the white working class is who he thinks he can talk to.
Well, right, to the white working class. But you know what? He is spectacularly popular in South Carolina with some of the older African-American establishment population there, which is huge. And as you know, that's where the wheels fell off for Bernie last time around. So you can see a path here if there's no implosion in the short term.
There's always a chance for that with him. I remember 2009 so well when Barack Obama won, and Barack Obama he's in 2009. It's the beginning of the agenda. They're trying to get the health care. They're trying to run that through before they're going to lose in 2010, which they knew by doing that they were going to do. And so it was a very active first number of months in the Obama administration. But Joe was out there constantly saying goofy things, constantly getting himself in some form of trouble. And then I think it was October of 2009, Barack Obama had to call him in. Had to call him in to the Oval Office and go, Joe, you got to just cut it out. You got to go. Whatever you're doing, you got to stop. Think before you open your mouth. And they sent him on a world tour. They do what they do with like royals when they get mad at him. They exiled him to the next thing you know, he's in this liquor stand somewhere making a speech about American ideals. And you're like, oh, where are you? I don't know. No one followed him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
The world has changed, hasn't it? Yes. Now we have a president who's rage tweeting today against Robert Mueller. We're in a different situation than we were before, and then Trump is all the difference. And that's exactly the way Biden is positioning himself.
Yeah, totally normal compared to Trump.
Although he's still going to be a gas machine, which is going to be why. It'd be so fun to cover him.
Yeah, one of the knocks on him is that he isn't that good at social media, and that's a big part of campaigns and communicating your message these days as well. The other thing that's out today, Natasha, I want to get your take on is the New York Times story, and I think it's fairly everywhere now. Anita Hill speaking out about Joe Biden and how she felt dissatisfied after he met with her a couple weeks ago, didn't really give her an apology for the whole Clarence Thomas, the way she was handled, the way sexual harassment was handled. I know it was many years ago. But she's being very vocal about, I'm dissatisfied with the way he's handling this. You think that becomes an issue for him as a candidate?
Right. It's kind of amazing that he did finally meet with her after all the buildup, all the talk about that he needed to do this, and he still couldn't put it to rest. She's still feeling like it wasn't an apology. So it's going to continue to dog him. There wasn't a ton of detail on what was said and exchanged there. Biden's people are definitely confirming that he spoke to her, but she doesn't consider it an apology. And especially people in the Democratic Party, after the Kavanaugh hearings, in the climate we're in right now today, that was something that the party believed he needed to do, that he needed to put behind him. So it's going to still be hanging out there. It's going to be a point at the debate. It's going to keep coming back, and he's going to get questions about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I think it's going to be a debate amongst Democrats, though, is can we elect a white male? Which, imagine, I just want you to stop and think about that. I don't know if we can get a white guy elected. I mean, remember there was once a conversation about whether or not they could get a black guy elected? Right? Or a woman? Or anything? Now it's like, there's not a chance we're going to get a white guy across the finish line here. And it is.
Well, you have every white candidate saying, well, I'm absolutely going to have a female as a VP. Absolutely. Yes. And females all around. I have a lot of females around.
I'm not even sure I'm white. I mean, when you think about it, other than Bernie Sanders, who's not sure what the hell he is. I mean, he shows up on stage. What is that, Monday or Tuesday night? Whenever the hell that thing was on.
Monday on CNN.
Monday night on CNN.
The town halls.
When they were all showing up. And he comes out totally disheveled. Like, he literally had just left the day room you know, where he was playing bridge with, you know, with some of the other people in the home. And he toddles onto the stage and then he starts giving a speech that Karl Marx gave, right, in 1886. You know, you're like, hey, stop that.
Well, but, you know, what's amazing about this, of course, is that everyone keeps lauding Elizabeth Warren as the, you know, the leader in the primary on policy. She's just bombarding everyone with all these policy proposals, has a plan for everything. And she's not leading in the polls. Kamala Harris is up there. She's not leading in the polls. It's three white guys that have been consistently leading in all the polls. And, of course, it's early, and, of course, it's name recognition. But I think there's just still so far to go for women. I think women are held to a different standard. They're you know, the whole likability, you know, quote-unquote test against them. Voters just are harder on them in general. It's amazing to me that it's still such a tough environment for women.
I think in a lot of ways women are harder on them than others. I know the women
that
talk...
There's truth to that. There's definitely truth to that.
I think that the... Like Hillary Clinton, the people who are the most passionate about hating Hillary Clinton that I know in my life, I know it's totally anecdotal, but the whole show is anecdotal, right? I mean, that's my problem, Natasha, is that I can't prove anything, as our newly minted traffic reporter likes to tell me all the time. That's not true. That's not what you're
calling you out big time yesterday.
You brought me in from news. You did this to yourself.
Right, I know. That's true. That's true. You're a news reporter. So anyways, the point is this, that what we have is with Hillary Clinton, they were all women who hated Hillary Clinton with this crazy passion. I mean, and that's the kind of thing that I think that women are running up against here on the national level. Like Kamala Harris, who's obviously, you know, very qualified, very, I think, good on the stump. She's a very... you know, she's got a good presentation. She commands authority, but at the same time, she seems like a human. She's got all these things that is really good for a politician to have. You know, that's rare political talent that she has. Now she's gotten to the point where she's starting to play the safe game, where they ask her a question about policy. Yeah. Well, we'll have a discussion about that.
Well, took a lot of heat for that.
Yes, we'll be discussing that at some point.
On the other hand, yes. You know, Bernie Sanders is asked the same question, and that is going to haunt him for a long time. His answer on the Boston Marathon bomber, you know, being able to vote from prison and convicted rapist. But she took the safe route. But in that case, just politically speaking, I thought it was a really bad moment for Sanders.
Well, it might be an attempt at political suicide for him. Maybe he wants out of this thing, you know, before
he's 77, he'd be 79 at an inauguration.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I mean, he doesn't come out, he doesn't comb his hair. Come on.
Bro, you're so tough on him.
I know.
Because men are tough on men about their appearance.
It just creeps me out when he's coming out there and it's everywhere and you go, this is the guy that's going to represent it? I mean,
I don't care.
I got
about other things.
Really?
Yes. He's worried about other things.
Yeah.
Well, worried about everyone else.
All right. Natasha, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you. Always fun with you guys.
Thanks, okay, Natasha.
Natasha Karecki. She's national correspondent for Politico. I know. I'm hard on Bernie because I think Bernie is a moron. What? That's why. Because I do. I don't understand. I mean, he's basically, my 93-year-old father said this to me.
Okay.
And he knows a little something about, you know, he's been alive for 93. He fought in, you know, was in the military for four different wars.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he's also a student of history. And he said to me, he's like, you know what the problem here with this guy is? Is that he's espousing a political system that died in the 1930s, right? It didn't work. And then it died again in the 1980s. Why does he think it's going to work now?
Most popular senator in the United States, according to a poll released today.
Well, name another senator. I'll bet you most people in their own state couldn't name two senators.
Well, but I think
they know
it speaks to the fact
is.
That he comes across as authentic and that he is... a servant, a public servant who would like to represent people's best interests over his own. And unfortunately, that's becoming harder and harder to
you
find
know what you
in
should
our
do?
Leadership.
You should write the best-selling New York Times best-selling book.
then that's how you become rich, because he got a lot of criticism for that, too. He's a millionaire. He released 10 years of his taxes.
You do that, and then you can become a millionaire, too. You're like, all right, bad answer there, too, pal.
Don't you look forward to the Larry David on SNL, though? I mean, be honest. Keep him in the race for
that's
that.
The only reason that you like this idea.
Not-
Let us, hold on, please. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, Illinois is getting serious about taking a gamble on sports betting.
Today is Thursday. Did I have that right?
Yep, you do. Definitely Thursday today.
Okay.
You have some Thursday thoughts?
I do. Mm-hmm. Thursday. That's a new feature on the program. I have this thought for Thursday. A week from today is also a Thursday. Am I correct about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's usually how it works.
All right. I don't know. Okay.
Are we fact-checking you today? Is that what Lauren and I are going to be doing today?
Yesterday on the web version of the show, which, if you've not heard, that is really something. Sometimes I can't believe what I'm listening to when I'm listening, and I'm on it, and I don't know what the hell's going on. But Lauren has chosen, because she is like an award-winning news reporter and anchor, mm-hmm. and she is slumming it here. There's no question about that, but we brought her in to do this. She's a nationally regarded news figure, and here she is on this show, and I'm just, yesterday during the web show, just making stuff up. We were talking about pop culture, and I was saying, well, didn't they, you know, so I was a lot of Game of Thrones things, and I was making references, and she's like, no, you are completely wrong!
Wow, that's a bit intense.
Wait, hold on. That's what I meant.
That's more accurate.
I don't know. The gun sound effect, I think, is actually a little more accurate.
She got close.
It wasn't really fact checking. It was like, you idiot! You know nothing!
So there was that. So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But my point that I was about to make is that Lauren, you could do she could do that to you live at Cork and Carrie, along with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Who, actually, I like to have people watch her do that to Kevin. Because Kevin, except when it comes to sports stuff, he gets everything right. But every once in a while, Kevin will go, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I think about this. Hold on.
Yeah, a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. And then you could watch that happen live. It'd be kind of fun. At the Cork and Carrie at the Park,
mm-hmm.
which is on 33rd Street, right? On the other
35th.
Side of the parking lot. No, 35th. That's where the park is. On 35th. Over by 33rd.
Got it.
In Princeton. You go there. Which one of my favorite bars in all of Christendom is Cork and Carrie. The original Cork and Carrie down in Beverly, that is the place. If you want to go for Timmy or Tommy or Mikey's birthday, that's where you end up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hang out with a bunch of cops and firemen.
Like I said, it's the perfect Southside bar.
It is. Totally is.
It's beautiful.
Totally is. Again, it's Timmy's birthday. Then, and if you get in there and it's like really crowded,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Oh, we can't get you in right now," go, "No, I'm here for Timmy's birthday," and then they go, "Okay, fine, come on in." So that's a great place. But then the Cork and Carrie at the park
mm-hmm.
carries on that tradition, and that is like one of those bars that you go into that looks like it should be in a movie. Like it's like a scene in a Chicago bar where a couple guys are going to be sitting there. There could be a couple city workers, maybe, and then a couple cops come in off their shift, right?
Yeah.
And they're there to talk about what just happened and that whole thing. That is really how that bar feels.
I'm surprised Chicago Fire doesn't shoot there.
Yeah.
It's just not maybe convenient for them, but it's interesting because you're right. You totally picture it.
It's totally a great bar. And you can go in there. Now, I don't know how they're giving away these tickets. We got tickets. It's a big game, right? Because...
Yeah, it's the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Come on.
You want to see the Red Sox.
Premium game.
Yeah. I mean, all those, like, you know, traditional old AL teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're here. This, you know, when the White Sox are playing the Red Sox, it's 100 years ago, people were talking about mm-hmm. the White Sox playing the Red Sox.
Right. So we're going to have two drawings for the tickets at 5 and 6.
So okay, that's how we're doing it?
That's how we're doing it. Two separate
put your
drawings.
Names in a hat or something.
Yeah, how are you
like
going to do it? Have you figured out that part?
And it's for that game, right? It's for that night.
Correct. And then we're all going to wander over.
Oh, boy.
To 35th and Shields after sampling vodka
like,
all
let's
afternoon.
Go!
Right. Lauren will lead the charge with her full Sox gear. And
the smallest purple person in the group. Smallest person in the group.
Yeah, you'd be swallowed up by the crowd there because it gets pretty. It gets pretty packed there before the Sox games.
I can never see anything.
Right.
Everyone's too tall.
We're going to have to put like a beacon on you or something. I don't want to lose you in the crowd here.
I need one of those.
No, I go, Lauren,
tether.
Where is she?
We'll do that tether thing like if people, the kids on a leash.
She's got a traffic report. Reel her in. Retractable dog leashes.
Come on, over here. They're pulling her back in. And after pull her actually through, two guys. Who are wearing the socks, the satin socks jacket where the O's in the middle, and then the only time it says socks is when you button it together.
Yep.
And it doesn't really button all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then they put it in one of them put it in the washing machine so it actually says sex instead of socks. It's a mess. It's just a mess. Anyway, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And then I think we're gonna come out and meet you guys.
Perfect.
A
show outing.
Yeah.
Great.
So we got that going for us.
They're 3-7. Yes.
And what's the game time again?
It's 7:10 first pitch. So 7:10. I guess 6:30 is pregame, and then we'll all kind of get together. We'll find Lauren in the crowd, and she'll lead the charge. The 35th and Shields.
Do you hear the bell?
It's right. Yeah, maybe a cowbell on her. That's one solution.
Even that's bigger than me. You need like a little jingle bell.
Like a cat bell?
Yeah, a cat collar.
Where's Lauren? Oh, she's on the bar. Wait, no. Nope. She's up on the TV ledge. Not less than a cat gets somewhere, and you're like, how the hell did the cat get there?
Slowly knocking off bottles.
Hanging upside down from the ceiling. Like, right. How the hell is that happening?
Right, there's a cat. Like, it's on a ledge. There was a part like of a vent that the cat found its way onto. Where's the cat? Laying in wait. All right, so we're going to
be a big night.
It's going to be a big night. Mm-hmm. Coming up. When am I giving these tickets away? Because I got a pair of tickets to this that I'm going to give away now. Or not now. Hold on. Don't say now.
You don't mean that.
Them away today.
Not like now, but
yeah. No. But when now am I going to be giving them away? When does it say here? When am I supposed to do that? Hello,
are you guys
hello,
us
hello, control
the
room.
Yes, the control.
What time am I supposed to be giving these away?
4:40.
Okay, after 4:40. Oh, so we're like 20 minutes away. How about that?
Stay all close.
Right. Thank you. Hey, that's my line.
Sorry. Yeah, inspiration.
All right. So,
a week from today, 3 to about 7, because then we'll head over to the park about 6:30. Mm-hmm. It's all brought to you by CH Vodka. You can have a cocktail. You can watch Lauren and I get drunk and try to do our jobs properly for a few hours. That should be a fun adventure. Cork and Carrie,
Why should this day be different than any other?
That's a good point.
Yeah. And
the CH Vodka is the local vodka we're learning.
That's right.
Learning
Chicago's
a little bit more
hometown
about
vodka.
It. And yeah, yep. Illinois grain. We heard all that. That's pretty cool.
Very, very cool idea.
I like
it. And it's fun because this is a very interesting. We mentioned this, an interesting, fun team. They're here for a 10-game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment where, some home cooking could be good for these guys.
Make up some ground a little bit.
Yep.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And then with Boston, and, you just hate Boston. Just hate the idea of Boston.
Right.
Right? I mean,
of course.
It's the Red Sox.
Right. Red Sox and Yankees, they're on everybody's S list.
Right. And except for ESPN's.
That's
where
true.
ESPN has to put it's a national law, apparently. When the Red Sox are playing the Yankees, it must be on ESPN.
Even when they're not playing, they're like, we're going to show a replay for Sunday Night Baseball of a Red Sox-Yankees game from 7 years ago.
Right, flashback.
Tune
Why
in.
Not?
Carl Yastrzemski, he's not playing anymore. All right. Very quickly, we'll find out from Kim what's going on at the news at the bottom of the hour. Lauren will update us on traffic. And then a list of Chicago's best French fries has come out.
Nice.
That's
hard to do.
It's the unsold thing here. People always say, we can talk about pizza and hot dogs and the rest of stuff. Uh-huh. But Chicago's got the best French fries in the nation, too.
And that's very true.
Yeah.
We were talking about one establishment that has such good French fries not too long ago.
Yep. So we will find out more about that in just a second. We'll tell you who it is. But first, Kim.
Is Bernie Sanders' campaign profiting from Joe Biden entering the race for president?
That's right, but don't say the word profit, because profit is anathema to human growth.
Permaseal bringing you the traffic.
Then there's this, payday loans, fast cash with a catch. Joe Donlin shows how this easy money can ruin lives. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Easy money ruining lives. What? Come on,
fairly
now.
High interest rate attached to them.
What an interest rate. All right, a list of the top French fries in the Chicago metropolitan area. See, top 20 French fries.
That's tough to do. I mean, there's so many restaurants in Chicago, great ones that serve great fries.
People are passionate about food here, obviously, as we all know. They did one on burgers, and people were like
out of their minds,
fist fighting each other in the streets of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You mean to go to the places or because they didn't come up with the right ones?
Well, everyone's like, no way, that's better than this spot. You know, everybody's got their spot.
True.
Okay, so there's, in Berwyn, there's Novi's Beef. Or do you say Novi? I don't know. Over by Berwyn, you never know.
We need a Berwyn pronouncer, please.
There's going to be a lot of different ways to pronounce it, Berwyn. Berwyn's very, very interesting now. They're very good for their beef, too. They're known, you know, for the beef, but it's good because they're what they are is they're made to order fresh-cut fries. Very good, delicate, crunch, soft interior. That's a nice thing.
Oh, I like that when they're crunchy on the outside.
Mini Mott. That's for the Mott Street people.
Oh, they brought us food in a few weeks back in studio here, and everything they brought was delicious, including the fries.
Yeah, they are amazing. They have the best burger I've ever had.
I think it's Cheval and Mott Street have the two best burgers in Chicago.
And Dave's Red Hots. Over by 3400 Roosevelt Road, or do you say Roosevelt Road? The Region, which is on Roscoe, in Roscoe Village. Johnny's Grill. Now, that's tough because there's a bunch of Johnny's Grills.
Yeah, but you can bet that all of them are going to be solid. If you go to a place called Johnny's in Chicago, you're getting a solid hot dog, a solid beef, some good fries.
This is in Skokie on Lincoln Avenue, Johnny's Grill. You got Burger Movement, MOOVMENT. I really don't want to be reminded that the burger is a cow, but they're doing it's Elmwood Park. What are you going to do? Those are super thin shoestring fries.
Oh, I like those too.
Burger Social,
crispy,
in Wheaton. Burger Belly, except it's BRGR Belly. Oh. Now they're just trying to remind me that can't spell. And that's up at 5700 North on Irving Park Road. Susie's Drive-Thru on West Montrose on the northwest side. Lucky Burger and Grill in Mundelein. Bobo's Hot Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Edzo's Burger Shop.
Well, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It's in Cat Country.
Evanston.
Yep, that's in Evanston. Yeah. Edzo's is good. Edzo's been around for a while, right? Isn't Edzo's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's $2.25 for the fries over by there.
See?
Mm-hmm.
What
I love it that these are all neighborhood places, too, that they're not fancy places that don't have, you know, they have duck fat fries and all the fancier gourmet fries.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These are Small Cheval, which there's a ton of them opening up now. Right? There's 17, just north, Milwaukee and North Avenue.
You can barely get in. They're original. Yeah. So I could see why they're opening up the satellites.
Top Notch Beef Burgers. That's in Beverly. That's unbelievable. That's just, forget about the fries. The whole thing at Top Notch is top notch. 1942, they opened up.
Boy.
And I think they're still using the same fryer. And that's a very important thing. You want it seasoned at that point.
That's why the Billy Goat Grill is still one of the best grills in the city.
Gene and Jude's coming in at number 6 out in River Grove,
fantastic.
Right? All right, now your top 5. Rand Red Hots in Des Plaines.
This is my neck of the woods. Northwest Burbs, been here multiple times. Very solid all around.
The whole thing, right?
Very good. They do a nice hot dog, nice french fry.
They do the real hot dog?
Like an old school kind of drive-in retro hot dog stand.
Kevin's Chicago accent really comes out when he talks about
When you talk beef and hot dogs, you got to, you know.
Yeah.
Just reminds you of Chicago.
Now, very important thing about that, their fries are done with beef tallow.
With what?
It works.
Beef tallow. So it's the fat. It's fat. It's beef fat in the fryer.
Huh.
A lot of places do that. So you vegetarians out there.
Think you're getting your potatoes.
Yeah, and you're getting
there's a little something extra.
Yeah, there's a little something extra in there. And you go, God, these are delicious. And then you never tell the vegetarian
don't ask,
in your group.
Don't tell.
Remember they had to do this. They had McDonald's was using beef tallow for years and years and years. And in the 1990s, they had to actually pull away from it because all of a sudden, there were, literally, you know who, it was Hindus. They called them out on it.
Ah, great.
And they're like, what are you doing? It got very, very bad. And McDonald's had to figure the whole thing out.
We did.
And they've never been the same since, I want to point out.
Oh, really? You notice the difference?
Oh, yeah.
We got a pronouncer, Novi's Beef.
Yeah
Novi's you got
beef.
It. Thank We're you. On that.
All right. Illinois Bar and Grill on 47th Street at number 4.
Hmm.
One of the best burgers in Chicago as well, Illinois Bar and Grill. And now here's, not to be confused with Johnny's Red Hots, here's Jimmy's Red Hots. That's at 4000 West Grand.
Are they brothers?
Jimmy and Johnny. That might be. You never know.
I
have an uncle Jim and a dad named John. I'm just curious.
So when Dr. and Mrs. Red Hat had Jimmy and Johnny, they said, and one day you guys will be competing hot dog vendors.
Maybe.
And
yeah.
Rand Red Hot's the distant cousin.
Mm-hmm. Also in the towel, Red Hot Ranch, number two. That's up at Armitage and Western.
Oh, I know that place.
Okay,
sure.
That, right?
Good place.
That's been around for a long time. Yeah. And number one, Mr. D's Shish Kebabs.
They drop them in vegetable fat and pork lard. Just makes them taste so good. I didn't know vegetables had fat. How does that work? Twice in, well, I guess like, you know. Canola oil is but
Crisco.
Crisco, right. More like it. And the pork lard.
Long, languorous, golden bars filled with seemingly silken whipped potatoes. Mike and Ann Antonopoulos.
Oh.
There you go.
Greek Americans.
Opened their one-room fast food restaurant 50 years ago as immigrants from Greece.
There you are. What a beautiful immigrant story.
Mm-hmm. Little has changed, they say here. How about that? Now...
You there are fewer and fewer of those, but there, you know, there were a lot of those that survived the generations, the Greek diners and stuff. But you don't see as many. Yeah. Nice to see this one still going strong and number one on the list.
Number one on the list, sheathed like taut tempura, the first fry you bite into will release a puff of pure potato essence.
Describing French fries here.
This is somebody going for a Pulitzer while describing a French fry.
Sounds like my erotic fast food reviews I used to do.
Oh, gee.
That was a whole other deal.
Yeah.
Cochran. The warm glow inexplicably evokes for me such strong memories of lingering over fries and wine on the Mediterranean that stepping out of the door in Montclair, I have... expect to see these shimmering sea.
A Chicago magazine just wanting to get this up on the door, you know, when you walk in.
It sounds like Warren G. Harding reading that.
It totally does. It's like, what are we talking about here? I thought it was French fries. Jeez. What is happening?
Oh, wow.
Sheathed like taut. Wait, hold on. I need the music to be able to pull
this
off. Doesn't
sound right without it. Yeah. Languorous. That does sound like a good Warren G. Harding word. Long, languorous, golden bars. Never heard a French fry described.
I know. Right? Doesn't it sound a little bit like...
Wait, what are we... What?
Right. It's like from 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
Totally.
Oh, here we go.
Long, languorous, golden bars. Filled seemingly with silken whipped potatoes. Sliced, dropped twice in vegetable fat and pork lard. Sheathed like taut tempura, the first fry you bite into will release a puff of pure potato essence. Warm glow inexplicably evoking for me strong memories of lingering over fries, and wine. On the Mediterranean, that stepping out the door in Montclair, I have half expect to see the shimmering sea.
I expect it, but what are they doing here?
Right, I'm going to win
so many awards
thing?
With this, man.
Who wrote this?
All for $1.85. That can be yours.
Nick Kindlesberger.
Yeah.
Who's Nick Kindlesberger, and what's wrong with him?
He did the burger one as well.
Well, he's a guy who knows how to write. He's passing it to you.
Well, he's letting us know that every step of the way.
Well, he looks like he wrote it with Louisa Chu, and it says LC after that one. So that one's Louisa.
Okay.
They did it together.
Oh, so it was
Louisa and Nick.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you two. Yeah. Get a room. All right. Let's do this. We got a quick timeout, and then we're going to get to the news here with Kim. Stay right here. Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
right here, 720 WGN. All right, everybody prepare themselves.
We need to.
Because now you have a four-headed monster of football fans on this show. And everybody has a differing opinion, and most of them are wrong, except for mine. That's the way that I look at it. And now my hero, my personal football hero, the man whose very words, his literal explosion of emotion every Sunday is my cathartic release in what has been some very down times for the Bears, and now up times for the Bears, when I get to feel good about this. The great Ed Obradovich joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. He and Dan Hampton hold forth, of course, throughout the football season. They do some specials along the way, but then they also do, of course, Sundays, mostly after the games, but sometimes before the games, depending on when the game is. And it is the best radio show about football in America. Thank you, Ed, for being with us. All right, now, the draft is tonight. The Bears don't pick until Sunday afternoon, I think.
Friday night.
Is their first availability. All right, tell me, first of all, should they make a move here to try to get Robbie Gould back?
No.
Thank you, Ed Obradovich. So. Good to have you on the show. What? Why not?
He's got a few things going against him. You know, one of them is his age. And I know he's done well with the 49ers since he left here, which he never should have left here.
Right.
But it was a huge mistake. But to bring him back, I think, would not be a smart move at this particular time. I really don't.
Well, they don't have a lot of ammunition in terms of draft pick department. They don't pick till the four picks in this year's draft. So I don't really know how they'd even be able to pry him from San Francisco. But
it is. I tell you what, Kev, they'd have to give up a lot of money. Yeah. A lot of money and a lot of future draft picks to bring him back. And again, his age and his years in the league, even though I know the kickers, they really don't do a lot, whatever have you.
Oh, wait a second. I'll tell you what, no, you know what they don't do? They don't win games if they miss the kick with no time left.
And
well,
hit the upright.
Let me tell you something, young man. Let me tell you something. That never should have came down to the last second field goal to win the football game. We scored in four quarters, one touchdown, one, and that was late in the fourth quarter. And we're playing at home against a team that we could beat, the Philadelphia Eagles. And we score one stinking touchdown. It never should have came to that, Ro. Never. We should have annihilated that team.
But
they had everything going into that game.
Anna, stop.
They had everything going for them.
They do need a kicker, right? Are we still right with that?
Yes, they do. They'll find one somewhere. I don't know where the hell you find them, but they'll find them somewhere.
You know, that's what I love about guys. You know, you have defensive great Ed Obradovich, and the offensive players. Offensive players look a little differently on the kicker because they're like, oh my God, they got us out of that problem. At least we scored. But defensive players hate the kicker. Those are the guys who actually athletic tape the kicker to the goalpost during training camp.
Right?
So that's where that happens. All right. So, other than the kicking position here, which you've already identified that, what do you think they need?
I tell you what, Pace, you know, looking back at it, his number one and number two draft picks, especially his number ones, have been horrible. But in the middle rounds, he's done a hell of a job. And in free agency, the pickups, the move to get Mack last year turned out to be sensational. And for us to make it into the playoffs for the first time, what, in 8 years or 10 years, and be at home, that was terrific. So I think there's a lot of pluses going forward. And in the drafts, I always like to, you know, everybody knows who the top guy is that's going to be and who's this. I always like to pick the guys that really is kind of under the wire a little bit for whatever reason or reasons. And I got a couple of them this year for you. And there's a tackle by the name of Titus Howard who played at Alabama State. And this kid, when he was in high school, he played quarterback. And he was about, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", about 220 pounds. And then he wound up being an offensive tackle at about 6'5 and 325 pounds. And the reason why I say he's kind of a sleeper in there, played on where there's pretty damn good football played. But I tell you what, He's got great agility. And, boy, when you're an offensive tackle and you got a speedy end like Mac coming at you, you got to be able to move. And so I think that might be – it's a long shot, but that is one of them. And the other one is a small running back, played at Oklahoma State. And I know the kids put up great numbers and everything, but what's going to kill him is his size, which is about 5'10", 198 pounds. But I'll tell you what. If he's available, you jump all over this kid. Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, a running back. I'm telling you, this kid's going to be a star in this league. So I kind of like my two, you know, kind of like off the center stage picks. And Titus Howard from Alabama State, offensive tackle, and Justice Hill from Oklahoma State.
I'm so happy you mentioned Justice Hill, OB. I've been lobbying for him as well. He had the fastest 40 time out of any running back at the combine. So I'm with you there. Going back to the needs of this draft for the Bears, I think the beauty of it, and it hasn't really been this way for the Bears in a long, long time, so I guess it's credit to Ryan Pace and them. They don't really have a major pressing need. At this point, it's sort of just adding the best talent available, and I realize, a lot of people think that the running back is what they'll be targeting, but they're in a pretty good spot heading into this draft.
Yes, they are. We have our three running backs. Ryan Nall, we don't really know that much about him. He was a basic on taxi squad. And we picked up Mike Davis from Seattle. And, of course, Tariq Cohen, who can run the ball and catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He can do a lot of things. But I think when the position that we're at, you always need help. Defensively, we've got some real good backups in the defensive line. I think our linebackers are in great shape. Our D-backs, I love how they came along, how they developed. What you always got to be aware of is our offensive line. For some reason, your guards, especially your tackles, they do go down during the season. So that's why I was talking about, if you get back to the seventh round or whatever, and this kid's available, Titus Howard from Alabama State, take him. So I think what we can do, I think what they'll do is kind of look at if somebody there in the offensive line, the guard, or especially the tackle spot, I think they'll take him. I really do. I don't think they'll take a running back, but they will if Justice Hill is there. But I think if there's there'll be some good offensive linemen that you can take, and I think you can never have enough on a football team because you have your top two tackles. One of them goes down. Usually the third guy that comes in has a lot of problems. So I think this is what we should look at, backup offensive linemen.
You think Kyler Murray goes number one tonight to Arizona? He's your Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma.
Kevin, you think that could be a smokescreen?
Maybe. They drafted Rosen in the first round last year. It all depends on what their new coach, Klingsbury, he's the guy from Texas Tech, their new head coach. He's kind of like the Sean McVay, young, offensive-minded type guy that people keep, praising. So maybe he's looking for his, that seems to be the trend, an offensive-minded head coach who gets a young quarterback and he gets to mold him from the start. I think Murray's so talented and he fits that offense perfect. I think they're going to go Murray one.
Well, if they do, Kevin, they're going to have a moving offense. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
They're going to move that pocket, sprint out, bootlegs. They're going to be all, because if he goes back in the pocket to drop back, the kid isn't that tall. He'll get killed back there. So I think what you could probably see with that team, you're going to see a lot of movement with the quarterback, moving strong to the weak side, moving the pocket, bootlegs again, all that stuff, if they take him, because he's not that big physically a kid.
Maybe Gruden and the Raiders get a little crazy. They got three first-round picks. Maybe Gruden wants a young quarterback, and, if he wants, he could probably move up if Arizona's not completely sold. We'll see.
But let me tell you something. Gruden.
Thank you for Khalil Mack, John Gruden.
There's a guy that talked to him and talked to the owners and the millions and millions of dollars because he was on from week to week for the last several years talking about how great he is at doing whatever it is that he does on television. I'll tell you what, he's got those three picks, he'll screw them up.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think. You know, he hired Mike Mayock, who was the longtime draft analyst for the NFL Network. He hasn't even worked in a front office for like 15 years, and Gruden hired him to be his general manager.
It's like the White House. Right. They're hiring people who are on TV. Right. It's like, that's good enough. Right. I like what they do on TV. It's real good. It's real right. nice. Hey, right. OB, before we let you go, first of all, does Lauren have a question as a Bears fan? I mean, this is the one thing. We have four people here now on the show, and everybody is Bears nuts.
Totally.
On this show. So I want to see. Now, Anna, you've not jumped in because I think you're just, let's face it.
I was listening to OB.
Yeah, everybody's in reverence for OB on this. But I would like anybody, before we let him go, because we're not going to get him now until, you know, the beginning of the camp. So it's very rare that you get these opportunities with him.
Sure, I have a question. What's the biggest mistake we can make drafting? And we keep talking about all these things that we can do that will be good. What could be our biggest mistake?
We can't make a mistake because we don't draft till the third round. And I think we have, what, three, four maybe picks, Kevin? I can't remember. But all the damage is done with the first and second round. When you get to the third, fourth, fifth, can you find players? Yes, you can. Okay? But it gets harder. It gets a little more difficult. But the point is, the Bears are in good shape. Their front liners are pretty strong. In certain areas, our D-line, great backups. We're sitting pretty going in to season. The only thing, if this quarterback can come along with his accuracy this year, I tell you something, look out for great things from the Bears. I really mean that.
And we should plug OB's draft specials this weekend, correct, OB? Saturday at 3, UHamp and Carm, I believe it is?
Yeah, we're going on at from 2 to 3:30. Saturday afternoon to wrap up the draft, you know, with the Bears, with their later picks, and basically what went on. Because in the first round, the Green Bay Packers have two picks in the first round. So we'll see what they're going to do.
Oh God. Ow.
That's not right.
So tune in to the big man, Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, and myself, and we'll let you know what happens, and we'll really work it out. And I'm just, I wish the Bears the best of luck and hope they hit on a couple of these things. Again, Titus Howard from Alabama State.
And Justice Hill.
But I'll tell you what. The only negative on him is his size. But I'm going to tell you, with this kid, the way he has worked out the past few years, that would not be a worry of mine at all.
Yeah, especially the way the NFL is working, too. Littler guys are getting more playing time. Look at Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen.
Because it's a passion game.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, OB.
All right.
Great to hear from you. Yeah,
Anna, any questions about Tom Brady for OB?
Well, I did see Tom Brady put out that he was taken 199th in the draft. He put out his picture of himself from that, you know, however many years ago. Was it 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Now?
All right.
And so, you know, you can pick up, so you never know what you can pick up
later on.
Tom Brady can do or say anything he wants. He's earned the right in all those years. Believe me, he has.
Darn right, OB. You just heard it from OB.
I know, but I still hate him.
Right. No. Hey, listen, to you and all your listeners, tune in Saturday, 2 o'clock, WGN, 720. I'll bang it out.
All right, yes, you will. Thank you, OB.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye. There's our guy.
He's
right
the
there.
Best.
Ed Obradovich. All right, the right best. Now, caller number, let's see, 15 from Adam Engel. If you want to snag tickets like Adam Engel snags the ball over the wall, 312-981-7200, a pair of tickets. See the White Sox take on Boston next Thursday, a week from tonight at 7 o'clock. Kevin and Lauren will be at Cork and Carey at the park starting at 3 o'clock, sponsored by CH Vodka. It's going to be a ton of fun right then and there. All right, caller number 15, 312-981-7200. What's going on, Kim?
You didn't let me ask OB a question. I wonder why.
You're damn right you're not going to be allowed
fan.
To. Do you notice how I said there's four crazy
Bears
fans?
Yeah, I was noticing Bears that. I wanted to say, am I, chopped liver?
Yes, you are. If you are a Packers fan.
The NTSB is heading to Beach Park to investigate today's chemical spill that injured dozens of people.
It's the Roe Contra with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
We're a little behind the time here, so we're going to just move right along to the most important part of the day, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody ready for that?
Let's go.
God knows I am.
It's the top five on the Roe Contra.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
We are in the battle for the soul of this nation. I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are. And I cannot stand by and watch that happen.
Hmm.
It's compelling.
No mistake there. He's taking aim at the president, and the polls are showing that he is someone who could potentially beat the president, has a good shot at that.
It's compelling stuff. And someone has to stand up and say that this is aberrant. What I'm waiting for is for that Republican, that Saturday Night Live bit that they did, where they said, and one Republican stood up mm-hmm. to tell the truth. And that Republican is to be named later, to be determined. You know, it was like and no one has done that to say we can't. I mean, some people, Mitt Romney, I should stop myself here because Mitt Romney has done that. But it's like Republicans go, well, he's not going to win. Republicans have turned on themselves and their own values here in a lot of ways. And it's a moment. And so now all of a sudden, Joe Biden, who is casting himself as the savior.
Right.
And without him, it can't really work. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Elizabeth Warren is not going to win the presidency. The closest Bernie Sanders potentially could give Donald Trump a run, but he'll still lose. And quite honestly, really? Bernie Sanders? I mean, Democrats have got to get their heads out of their keisters and put somebody in who is going to be competitive.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Biden. He's a moderate with experience, and a lot of people within the party look at that and say that's appealing. Then you have that other part of the party saying he's a moderate with experience, and that's a problem because the long record he has doesn't represent where the party is now, including Anita Hill coming out today explaining that it took 28 years. He finally came to me to explain why he handled a woman coming forward with sex harassment in the way he did, and I don't accept his apology. I don't think he's somebody who can be an agent of change.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But did you see who the president is?
This is what. But
so Anita Hill,
Democrats are not Anita looking
Hill,
for
like
a Trump.
What like a yeah? But you're going to end up with
they kind of are though, because that's all they keep rolling out
right,
here. Like,
can I just? I want to say something though. But this is very important. The Internet Research Group. Right. Mm-hmm. And what Putin did to the United States wasn't just like that Putin did it and he had some sort of magical power. It was that he was taking advantage. And other people were involved in this. There were other foreign governments involved in this. It came out in the Mueller report, too. You had China involved in this. You had North Korea involved in this. You had Israel involved in this.
Yep.
That were all, you know, trying to get into the social media sphere. Russia was the biggest player and the most organized player, and they're the ones who were also reaching out to try to figure out how they're going to work their way into the campaign in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all doing it to try to take advantage of the divisions that already exist here and continue to push the divisions out. It's a jujitsu move. They were taking advantage of our own weight here in the way they were coming after us. It is time for us to be aware of that and realize that this very stark divide is going to be taken advantage of. The AOCs of the world are definitely going to get pushed by the people and make them bigger players on social media and all the rest using the exact same technique that was done to do that for Donald Trump. They're going to go and play in those ecosystems of super liberal or super progressive Facebook pages and Twitter and Insta or wherever they can get in. And do it. They're going to do it because they want to see it further divided. We do need to have a more cohesive centrist message right now that will rule the day and then let the edges of the conservative and the liberal edges then influence the movement of the big ship, not tearing the thing in half and letting it sink like the Titanic. Thank you very much.
Titanic had a good run.
Sounds like you're on Biden's team.
I
Team
am.
Biden.
Did you cry at the end of that?
Oh, God.
That's
there was room for
number four
on the door, by the way.
And Mike Lavinati has endorsed him. He has my enthusiastic
support. All right,
support.
That's it. Uh-oh. I'm done. I'm out now.
So that's not helpful.
I don't want this country to go loony left or loony right.
I think we're already there, Ro.
Thank you. See you again. Ro's wrong. We're already there. All right, you're right. Okay, you're right. Okay, you ready for number four?
Yeah, I think we are.
All right. 21-year-old Candace Clark of Hoffman Estate says she's a victim of a Kim Fox double standard. See, we've already got that. We got the Kim Fox double-double.
Everyone's going to be asking for that deal.
I want the Kim Fox double standard. I mean, I want the Kim Fox deal.
I want that deal.
I want the Fox, whatever that is. Because she says that she appeared in a Rolling Meadows courtroom in front of Judge Martin there, facing a single felony count of making a false police report. What she did, she made a police report to say that someone had hacked her bank account. And
it was really someone she knew who she was in on it, who actually stole her money that she was, right.
So the prosecutors are demanding that she make a full restitution of $2,800, serve a deferred prosecution, something not required of Jussie Smollett. How does she feel about that?
So why do you think the state's attorney's office is going after you but allowed Smollett to walk?
Well, simply because I don't have publicity.
Looked like the judge was angry.
Yes, he was very mad. He was very upset, and he did not agree with it at all.
What did you think when the judge came to your defense?
I was ecstatic, overwhelmed, and I got a little emotional because I felt like he seen my innocence in the courtroom.
If they're going to cut a deal on Smollett, why not cut a deal for you?
And I'm just a regular girl just trying to make it out here, doing a job, working 10-hour shifts, right. Overnight. I'm just trying my best.
You're not Jussie Smollett, though.
I'm not Jussie Smollett. I wish I was, but it's okay. I'll get my justice.
Yeah.
But you're both criminals.
Right.
Allegedly. Hold on. Yes. Wait, did we convict her yet? I don't know. Did we? I think we did, right? I just got to just making sure we're okay there. Yeah.
See, now this is what everyone's going to be doing. Yeah.
All the guilty people are like, but I'm less guilty.
I
didn't do as much as him.
I'm just as guilty as he is.
Created a monster.
Judge Martin said this in the courtroom. I'd like to know why Ms. Clark is being treated differently than Jussie Smollett. It's a disorderly conduct case.
The judge said that?
This is a lot less egregious than Mr. Smollett's case. I have a problem with it. Ms. Clark is not a movie star. She doesn't have a high-priced lawyer. And this smells big time. Ooh. Your office created this mess. There's no publicity in this case. Press gets a hold of this. It'll be in the newspaper.
Too late.
That was Dean Placco's work, by the way, for Fox that we were just playing right there. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
It is a good point, though, that they are. I mean, she's like running around like she's a hero here.
I know, really. She's wearing her cape.
Justice right. will be served.
Right. Not exactly a hero. The judge, though, is a hero for pointing this out. Not like trying to get her off, but the point is that it's like
it's the same prosecutors, the same team going after harsher charges for her.
Right.
When she wanted to make the argument that Smollett was not like a rapist or a child molester.
Yes.
Comparing cases. Talk
this
about
happens
comparing cases.
All the time. Remember, there was an internal memo. Let's find out other cases to prove to the public that this happens all the time. This is standard.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not because they get the prosecution. They do a deferred prosecution. That's not what they did with Jussie Smollett. Yeah. They let him go, declared him innocent, then tried to expunge the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It's now a good time to tell you he was having lunch with the showrunners of Empire in New York. Having a friendly lunch. As his cast members are trying to petition to get him back on the show.
I'll take him back as long as he says I did it.
I thought they were going to kill him off, or was that a rumor?
Well, they said that he was not going to appear in the last two episodes, so I guess that happened, but now the entire cast is wrote letters to the senior people at Empire and above to say he belongs on our team as part of our family.
Could somebody please apologize to the city of Chicago for... Could he say, I'm sorry I did this? And if he doesn't do that, and he goes on to continue to say, well, Chicago did me wrong here when he was the one trying to do that. Right?
I mean, that was reflected in the letter. It's clear that our system of justice and the court of public opinion are unjust.
public opinion's unjust now.
Right.
So, you mean like when the facts are not going my way, it's unjust. Oh, hell no. Oh, come on now.
Yeah. Sorry, Ro, I didn't want to get upset, but that's...
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
Kim, you better not have anything else going to make me go nuts.
This is actually a good one. Mayor Emanuel wants to help broker a deal between striking Chicago Symphony Orchestra musicians and management.
This week on Chicago's Best, have no fear. Chicago's Best team has great food and great beer. It's an all-new Chicago's Best Brew Pub, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right. This is very exciting stuff. Checking in at...
Number three.
All right. It's upon us now.
Yeah.
The new James Bond film has announced its full cast, but still not a title.
Oh.
There are some titles being floated, but they haven't come down completely with it. And they're not saying exactly who the cast members are going to be playing. I'm going to guess that Daniel Craig will be playing James Bond. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. But Rami Malek has now been named as the bad guy, and they think he's going to be Ernst Stavro Blofeld. We're not 100% sure about that, but that's one of the iconic. Yes. Blofeld is one of the iconic characters, right, from from the Bond canon.
Right.
And here we go. Here's Rami, right? This is Rami talking about being named to this. He's had a pretty good year, I'd say.
Now, a few things have happened in my life in the last couple of years where I thought, I cannot imagine that these things are happening. But yeah, I mean, this is just such a perfect follow-up, I think, to Bohemian Rhapsody. That going from, you know, one iconic Brit to an iconic British franchise.
Yeah.
Cool. It is. Off his Oscar win. Pretty cool.
Now, they're going to have to do, they're not going to do the fake teeth, but they'll have to do a fake eye. Because Blofeld had like a jacked up eye. That's a medical technical term, case. Don't worry about it. It's going to be, you know, I look forward to these things. I get so excited about it.
I love Bond films, all of them.
Total Bond geek. I am to Bond what the rest of these geeks are here to Marvel. That is my thing. All right, checking in at
number two.
In a workplace across the country and the White House, Take Your Child to Work Day is celebrated. Kids, parents enjoying time together in their offices. And the president today joked as he greeted the kids of his staffers.
I even love the media today. I see these beautiful children. Products of the media. And I actually like you much more than your parents.
Oh, that's nice. Take that home with you, kids. Yeah, really.
Hey, hate your parents. Go home and tell your parents they're all jags because they're writing stories about me that happen to be factual. Oh. Oh, man.
Never take drugs. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke. Enjoy your life, okay?
There you go.
That's got to be there you a go, kids. Trump situation. Some guy at the bar, listen.
He still does that. He still does almost that Bond villain thing where he, at the last consonant of every word, he adds a sound to it.
He does.
Don't smoke.
Rami Malek should study that. Preparation.
Don't be a journalist.
Don't be like them.
Oh, God. All right. And finally.
Number one.
Uh-oh. Something about this song speaks to Nicolas Cage. Because he hit up the same karaoke bar twice in three nights for two emotional renditions. Which is now Nick's anthem. There's a video of him pouring it all out. Didn't leave anything. Didn't leave anything on the stage.
Uh-oh.
It's time we all reach out for something new. That means you too.
Oh, God.
You say you want a leader, but you can't even make up your mind.
I think you better close in and let me guide you. Would you the purple wing?
Oh, God.
Purple wing.
I'm angry.
Oh, man.
It was so very Nick Cage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. How drunk was he in that during those performances? Do we have any sense? Isn't there some, do we have some other audio of Nick Cage being drunk?
Well, he was outside a Las Vegas hotel recently fighting with his wife of 4 days, who now wants alimony.
Can't really hear that audio,
though. Fortunately, maybe that's why Purple Rain is speaking to him.
And she's getting a spousal support, too.
Right.
She's asking for spousal support.
For 4 days, yes. Asking for a divorce. There was a big blow up outside the Las Vegas hotel. Yeah, I don't think you could hear the audio on it, though.
Yes, I need
you. But you kind of could fill in the blanks. You kind of knew what was going on there.
Mm-hmm. I need half your money.
Angry rendition of Just tack that onto the video of him freaking out, the nice compilation that's on YouTube.
Okay. Oh, man. Prince may rise up. I don't know how Game of Thrones is going to end, but he might rise up out of his grave to take care of this. He's going to come after Nick Cage first.
No, it's not licensed. It's not allowed.
So this is the problem with karaoke, too. You couldn't keep up with the words as they were scrolling.
Uh-huh.
He was like a little bit behind.
Sure.
That could have been the alcohol, too. I'm not sure.
I think it was the tone that struck me the most. The sort of the angry. He's singing it like Creed. Like, yes. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes. That's amazing. So much aggression in there, Nick Cage.
Oh, God.
He's going through some things.
Yes. Yeah, he's going right. He's going through. He's got some things. He's got some issues. It's tough. I understand it. All right. Shall we do this? Shall we close it up? All right,
please.
Fine.
The top five at five.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan!
Thank you, Mr. Dubby! It's another edition of News or Ruse, and John Williams, bona fide celebrity, is here to play News or Ruse with you.
Very cool.
And John has a very, very important event coming up. You like to talk to dead presidents, and you will be speaking to one coming up when?
Thomas Jefferson, May 18th, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Classic Cinemas Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
That's very fun. I've never attended one of these, but I've heard them on the radio.
He does a good job.
He's amazing. And he wears the whole deal, too, right? Native dress?
He comes. Jefferson wore a wig. He wears a wig. He wears the same kind of shoes Jefferson wore, the same sort of breeches, you know, those white hose and funny pants,
mm-hmm.
the jacket.
I have those. I like to wear those to the clubs on Saturday night.
Does he sing and rap like the Hamilton one? Because you were ahead of your time on this whole thing.
Yeah, but our Thomas Jefferson isn't black, and the one on Hamilton is.
Well, okay. There's a difference. That's a major difference.
I'll point that out to him when we talk to him, man. I'll say, it's funny.
Okay with that.
We got a guy that does you now. Kind of different. Not the same.
Things have changed.
And if people would like to attend this, what's the best way for them to do it?
Just go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson. We've sold about 600 seats. We got room for a couple hundred more. So I'm going on vacation starting tomorrow. So this will be the last chance I have to nag people into doing what will do them well, have some laughs, and just kind of think a little bit about what it means to be an American, what America really should or shouldn't be. And by the way, a lot of this stuff, like I'm a Jeffersonian now. He's my guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the more I think about him, the more I think I disagree with him on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was for guns. I'm not for guns. He didn't mm-hmm. think women should.
But he's for muskets. I mean, let's face it.
He's a little different.
It wasn't that the AK-47, a little different sort of deal.
That's a point he always makes. When he says, he goes, but remember, a gun in my era took a long time to reload. Mm-hmm. There was no bang, bang, bang.
Right. Mm-hmm. You weren't going to go kill 17 people in 5 minutes.
But you still did the duels.
That's true.
Was that okay, just to kill someone there on the spot?
He wasn't in favor of it, although he almost got drawn into one, and he's told that story before, too.
Yes.
So It's so if you want to ask him about historical stuff, you can. If you want to say, hey, should we see your taxes? Mm. Fair game. Bring it.
Anything. All questions.
Yeah. But the best stuff is, you know, what do you think about the 25th Amendment? Or do you think it's too hard or easy to impeach or stuff like that? So the audience always has good questions. That's the best part. I talked to him on stage for a little while, and then people ask him stuff, and he answers in Jefferson's voice with the words Jefferson would have used.
You know, he was. I'm a big Federalist Papers guy because I had to take that class twice in college.
It's a good class to take.
So you're good at it, right?
Yeah, so I'm good at it. And you know, the structure that they created is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Well, are you talking about Hamilton here?
Or Madison, or any of the guys at the Federalist Papers guys, and it is to me, it's one of those things where people. It's thick and hard to get through in a lot of ways because the language is very different. But it's worth going back and realizing what they thought this place should be. And people go, well, I'm a constitutional liberalist. And then you go, you may not be.
Yeah. Have you read it lately?
Yeah. All right. Now, here's what people are playing for. You got a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco.
Sebastian, he's great.
Yes, he is. Yeah. The You Bother Me tour, that's going to be at the United Center. That's how big. Now, Sebastian was on this show 10 years ago, playing zanies and places like that.
He's a Chicago guy, right? Yeah. He tells a lot of stories. A lot of his stand-up is from the old neighborhood, or his dad's from the Italian west side.
Yeah.
By there.
Here he is, just, you know, kind of making it. And then, boom! He's playing the United Center.
I just saw him on Comedians in Cars getting coffee with Seinfeld, so he's a big deal.
Where's he playing a role?
United Center.
Thank you. I had just writing that down.
Okay.
Making sure I got that.
Seats go on sale on Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. We're going to give them to you before that, or at the United Center box office. Plus, you got a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. Trail at prices every day. Check out the Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park. And runners-up get a never-measure, easily center, level, and hang your wall decorations fast. Eliminate the need for using of a measuring tape or to calculate fractions or anything we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran-owned and operated, made in the U.S. of A. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. All right. Let us meet our contestants right now. Here we go. We've got Margaret playing with Kim. Margaret, you there?
I'm here.
Raymond playing with Lauren. Raymond?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. And Rita is playing with John.
Hello.
Hi, Rita. Welcome.
There you go.
Hi, John.
All right, here you go. Here's your first headline, and this one is for Margaret and Kim.
All right, Margaret.
Florida yacht captain blames Russians for drugs, guns, and exotic meat in the hull of his boat.
I'm going news on that. Florida is always crazy.
Wait. I concur with Kim.
Okay.
And...
Oh, you guys.
Really?
Oh.
That's not even fair.
Come on.
Really? I told you it's tough.
It's tougher than you think.
Yeah.
All right, Raymond and Lauren. Lauren, here's your headline. Woman says view of builder's yard has made her cat depressed.
Wow. Mm. Raymond, any initial thoughts?
I think I'm going to have to go with news on this one because cats are weird. So
cat people can be weird, too. Let's go with news.
Yeah, right,
well done.
Way to call it out.
Yeah, I think that's a good rule to live by. Cat people can be weird. Just move on. Rita and John, here is your headline. Man tests PetSmart policy, brings camel into store.
Oh, gee.
Where are you on this, goodness. Rita?
I think I want to say news.
You want to say fake or real? News or rules? So news. All right, I'm going to go with Rita and news.
Got it. Right on. What is a PetSmart policy that I guess that you could bring any sort of animal you want into the store?
A camel?
All leashed pets are welcome. That's their policy.
They have a list of animals that customers can bring.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Then, oh, camels were not on the list, but
no.
Employees did not seem to mind.
It's all leashed pets are welcome.
All leash pets.
I'm gonna bring my Bengal tiger in next week and see how that goes.
Alligator.
See, cat people are weird.
I wonder if the camel walking up and down the aisles of the store is going, "What day is it? What day is it?"
Mike. All right, Margaret and Kim. Here's your headline.
Man accused of stealing from Kmart days after buying $8 million private island.
Oh wow.
Oh, too weird.
But it's so weird it could be true. Can you give it to us one more time?
Sure. Man accused of stealing from Kmart days after buying $8 million private island.
I'm leaning ruse only because how does a guy with an $8 million island even know where Kmart is?
Right. Yeah. And there's not many Kmarts left. All right. If you want to go ruse, I'll go with you.
Wow, I'm useless.
You are, because you're out now. That's you found your way to get eliminated before the break. How does that happen?
I say useless,
you're not useless as a listener. I just want to point that out, Margaret. We love you for being a listener of the show. You're welcome. All right, bye. All right, we move along here to Raymond and Lauren. Here's your headline. North Carolina man charged with animal cruelty after abandoning pet fish.
Ugh. I'm going to go with ruse, but I don't know.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. Yeah, I think it's a ruse.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happened.
That poor fish.
Oh, man.
That's a true story?
That's a true story. North Carolina man charged with animal cruelty and abandonment after leaving his pet fish in filthy conditions.
The fish has an attorney?
He was evicted from his Wilmington, North Carolina home last month, and he left the fish behind in a dirty tank.
Oh, that's not right. All right.
Now, oh my God.
What?
Are we sure? This says NBC. I can't believe this. 6-inch-long fish was found at home. Authorities took it to the fish room, a shop that sells pets, where it was discovered that the fish was suffering from hole-in-the-head disease, which causes lesions. Hole-in-the-head disease.
Didn't know about that one.
I've got that.
It's amazing this fish survived.
Now that I've heard about it, I'm going to get it. All right, here we go. Rita and John.
Rita, John. Here's
all right, Rita, we're one for one.
Here's your headline. Keep it going. Blonde left with mullet after salon trip fails to win $30,000 payout.
Huh.
Blonde left with mullet after salon trip fails to win $30,000 payout.
Oh, I don't know. John, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't exactly understand what they're saying, but I think that's convoluted enough to be true. I'm going to go news, but Reed, I'd hate to fail you on this. What do you think?
You know, I trust you, John. Let's say news.
That's very nice right there.
Well done.
Very well done. All right, everybody, hold on. John and Rita have a commanding lead of 2 right. Raymond and Lauren are going to start the next round. If they get it wrong, it's all over. If they get it right, it stays right here. We continue on. Let us find out what's going to happen. First, Kim, she's got extra time on her hands. What's happening in the newsroom?
Several people remain in critical condition after a chemical spill in Beach Park today.
All right, here we are. It's Newsaroos. John Williams is playing. John Williams would like you to know that that he has a very, very important moment coming up. He and Thomas Jefferson, though remaining dead for 200 years, yeah. Thomas Jefferson will be back with John Williams at the Tivoli Theater, right?
That's right. Saturday, May 18th, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., May 18th, one show only this time.
Oh, wow.
We usually do two, this time we're just doing one.
One show, and tickets are available at
WGNradio.com/Jefferson.
All right, news or ruse, it's down to this. Raymond and Lauren, you have one headline. You have to get it right to stay in this. Are you prepared for this challenge?
I'm so nervous.
I knew it. All right, here, Orion.
Hungry gerbil rescued by armed police.
Oh. That's all these poor pets.
Yeah, that's the second in a row about pets and authorities. Which also makes me nervous about it being true again. I don't know. Raymond, what are you thinking?
Well, I think we've had 2 newses in a row, so I think I'd have to go ruse.
You're right. There's been like 4 trues in a row. I like your strategy. Let's go ruse.
Oh. Well, that, you know what, Rita? You know, you lucked out by being with John Williams, and you lucked out because you get a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. You Bother Me Tour, Saturday, November 7th at the United Center Reserve. I mean, listen, you're going to be everybody on your block. It's going to be going, she's the one who got the tickets. Tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. It's one of the hottest comedy shows in America. It's the Netflix effect.
Yes.
And he's going to be at the United Center, and the United Center box office is going to have tickets starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, as well as
Ticketmaster as well. I was going to say that
Thank
a number
you.
Of times.
Can plus, I ask a question?
Congrats. Plus, hold on, a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply. Outlet for outlet prices wow. every day. Check out the Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park. And the runners-up get a never measure, easily centered level, and hang your wall decorations fast. Eliminate the need for measuring tape, calculating fractions, and all that stuff. Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com.
Wow. Rita, can we give her two tickets to my Jefferson show? I have an extra pair, and since she and I have kind of connected here, and I'm the big Jefferson boy, can we give her a couple Jefferson tickets?
Did you see what just happened right there? Did you see, Rita, did you see how lucky you are? Very lucky.
And then she can tell us which show was funner, the comic, or the funnier, or Thomas Jefferson on stage at the Tivoli.
Look at all those prizes.
Hmm. All right, so that's congratulations.
See, he came loaded already. Yeah. He already said, you know, me, I'd go, hey, you need a 50? I got a 50 for you right here. The old guy left carrying 50s. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it, John.
Thanks for the plug, kids. See you.
All right, you're welcome. We've got the news coming right in 2 minutes. Roper's here to tell us about movies that do not have the word Avenger in the title. And it's brought to you by Arkadek. Now, Richard did say, I think I don't, I he can speak for himself, but I'm going to quote him anyway.
He is here. We could ask him.
But I like to quote him. You know, Richard Roper told the show that the Avengers Endgame is a 4-star film. One of the best action, one of the best movies of its type ever.
Of its genre, ilk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of its kind. And it, you know, one of the strangest things that has sprung from this, and it's not brand new, but you know, these long movies, there are apps that tell you at what point in the movie you should go to the bathroom, you know, from people who see advanced screenings. Yeah. The urine app, I think is what it was actually called.
Lovely.
And I've never seen, like, there's this huge thing about this yesterday and today, and I finally tweeted out, here's my advice, here's when you should go to the bathroom if you're going to attend Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
First trip, 5 minutes before movie, second trip, after movie ends. I've never gone to the, I don't think I've taken a bathroom break in 5,000 movies. Then, Captain America.
Some people, excuse me.
I know.
Some people have issues.
Well, that's different. I know. I did hear from some people.
That's true.
Some women who are 8.5 months pregnant saying, and I said, well, then you shouldn't even be going to the movie. You're going to have a kid tomorrow. Let little Zoe be born in a hospital, not at the Icon Theater.
You know, if especially now that they have the alcohol in the theater.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
If you start drinking in the theater, and then there's that, and you know,
I feel like some guys are going to have some devices strapped to their thighs. Anyway, then. Captain America, Chris Evans, with his 11 million followers, retweets my pee advice. And then I got so many of those. Twitter actually contacted me, the first time it's ever happened, and they said, you might want to turn off notifications and comments because it's going so fast, it's going to break your account.
Oh, my God.
And people are saying things to me in languages I don't recognize right now. So they could be saying, all hell, the god of good advice, or how dare you. I don't know. I think you guys have we had an extended discussion about the movie the other day, and that's up on the website, right?
Right, exactly, in case you want to know. But that's how great it is. How many, do you know how many notifications? How many retweets?
There's more than 30,000 retweets.
Oh,
and I stopped looking at the comments. You know,
oh, no, it's up to almost 47,000.
So my legacy now is going to be the
pee
advice
breaks.
About when to pee at Avengers Endgame. Not any great insights. On Christmas
Richard
Eve.
Richard Roper, known for his advice on urination in films.
The New York Times obit guy. Oh, man.
Has died today at the age of 117.
He once gave peeing during a movie advice.
Amazing. This is, well, you know, look, we know what attracts attention. But as Ro mentioned, there are some other movies out, and almost all of these are getting the simultaneous limited theatrical and home streaming release, which is smart by the filmmakers, right? There's a couple I think you guys and listeners will be very interested in, including a movie called Stockholm, starring the ubiquitous and never incapable of giving a bad performance, Ethan Hawke. Now, guys, this is based on the 1974 robbery in Sweden, in which an American bank robber and his partner eventually, who joined the thing, and another American, walked into a big bank, one of the largest banks in Stockholm, took the hostages, and it went on for days. And at some point during that, the hostages became sympathetic to their captors and actually tried to help them.
Hence the Stockholm syndrome.
Hence the term Stockholm syndrome, which, of course, in the first Die Hard, the news anchor says, oh, that would be, of course, Helsinki, Finland, where the Stockholm syndrome was originating. So it's 1974, which is cool. So you got music by like Bob Dylan and stuff like that. Okay. And then you've got Ethan Hawke as the bank robber. So I think we have a scene here. He's got the hostages, and now they're dealing with the chief of police, who's trying to figure out a way to you know, get them out of there.
1 minute or we start the gas.
No. What do you mean? You said you were going
to... 1 minute.
It's not the phone. You have to press the red button.
What's going on? Hey! You said you were going to let us go!
Things have changed!
No. What do you mean? What?
You should do what he says.
No! No way, man! You said we could go!
1 minute!
How can they do that? They can't gas us all! I know they want to kill me, but...
No way!
No! No retreat, man! Why would they want to kill all of us?
What are you doing?
Hey, don't touch her! I will blow your head off!
Wow.
It's Ethan Hawke in intense mode. But it's also played a lot as, you know, the comedy it kind of is, you know, because it's so ludicrous. Because a lot of this is exactly what happened. They asked for a getaway car to be the exact car that Steve McQueen had in Bullet. It had to be that car. They're like, well, it's going to take a while to get that, you know, in the middle of Stockholm.
Right.
And Noomi Rapace, who was the original girl with the dragon tattoo, she plays one of the hostages. And at one point... they put her in a bulletproof vest and shot her in front of the cops and had her, and she pretended to be dead. And then they're like, oh my God, these guys really mean business. And she saw the security camera and she kept her eyes open for like 8 minutes and then they dragged the body away. And it was because she was, you know, cooperating at this point. It's crazy stuff. So a solid three stars for Stockholm. If you're, you know, and I love those. Ron, I know you love the heist movies too. And,
I
you know,
love
it's always
too.
Great. And the negotiations.
Yeah, bank movies.
Do you get, I mean, maybe, I don't know if it's revealing too much, but do you get the sense of how they really, you believe that they actually came to have some sort of feelings for their.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it was just because the prime minister of Sweden said, we're not going to negotiate with you guys, and too bad. And that the women in particular felt like, well, you don't care if we get killed, so we're going to at least, we're going to bond with these robbers. They're our only chance to get out of here alive. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it started. And it just, you know, it kind of escalated from there. But you can look, you know, you can look it up. That is where the term came from. Patty Hearst, probably the most famous example of a Stockholm syndrome. But, you know, just fun watching Ethan Hawke with the long hair and the cowboy hat and the boots and everything. Because he was from Texas, the guy he's playing.
Well, it's interesting because in that era, you also had, in the real-time era, you also had Dog Day Afternoon, which is also based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And the same kind of thing happened in that, too, where the bank employees were kind of... These guys were such bumbling morons and had such a bizarre backstory. Then they told their story, you know, like, to the people in the bank, that they were like, oh, well... They 100%. Almost kind of want to help them a little at the end. Like, all right, they were going to get a 747 or something to take them to some foreign country.
Yeah, that didn't quite work out for anybody there. But that's absolutely true. And that was the case where, you know, Pacino was so charismatic. And the crowds, they were with him. That's when he was with Attica in front. And then they found out that he wanted to rob the bank to get money so his partner could get a sex change operation. And then the 1974 New York crowd turned on them.
Yeah, that's really true. It's really true. If you haven't seen that film, that is definitely...
God.
Worth the 90 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, 2 hours.
A little under 2 hours.
Brilliant film.
Because it's great. And it's you get to see a couple of the members of the cast of The Godfather in a movie that's unlike anything that, you know, right from that era.
Yeah, John Cazale, who of course was Fredo in the two Godfather movies and then was in The Deer Hunter, Dog Day Afternoon, one other. He was in five movies and four were nominated for Best Picture. Unfortunately, died of brain cancer at a very young age.
Right, at that moment.
Just a brilliant actor. And everybody, and he was actually in love with Meryl Streep. They were a couple of times. So everybody says he was the loveliest man. So, Dog Day Afternoon. Do you want to talk about another one or you want to take a break? Your call. We got a couple more things to talk about.
Wow.
There are more movies than Avengers and Stockholm?
Well, hold on.
I'm amped up.
Let's check. Let's check in with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What is happening? And then we'll come back on the other side.
Joe Biden's not looking for one major endorsement in his race for president.
Ha. 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 Ha.
720 WTN. All right, let's see here. Richard Roper has got movies other than... It's a big weekend for the movies, but do you want to go up against Avenger?
I think some of these films... Certainly that no other major studio... or any mainstream releases coming out within 10 days of this. So all the other films coming out were kind of niche films that, you know, they're never expected to make more than a few million dollars. But no, out of the past, people have tried to do that. Like, they'll say, well, you know, people go to the theater and they can't get in, they'll go to our movie, but people don't. They just go back home and go to, Mom, wake me up when my ticket's ready. You know, they don't necessarily say, oh, I think I'll go see Three Billboards Outside Ebbing if they can't get into, you know, the Clone Wars or whatever.
Avengers is playing on 4,600 screens, we were talking about, a record number.
7 a.m. 9 a.m. because of the length of it too, they wanted to do that. And tonight, late after I leave the Rokan show with Anna DeValentes, I have an evening screening, and it is at a theater I've never been to before, about a million miles from here, because none of the downtown venues wanted to give up a screen for an advanced screen. You know, because they have to kind of, for advanced screenings, it's usually two movies that it takes up that much time, because security's got to get in there. They got to let people in. Sometimes they check your cell phones, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I usually go to screenings. It might be AMC River Priest or Icon.
It's downtown, right?
I'm going, for those of you in the neighborhood, to the Davis Theater.
Oh, I know. That's my neighborhood growing up theater. Yeah. I like that place.
That's what everybody keeps telling me.
Mm-hmm.
For something like 4,600 North, for somebody who came from Dalton, it might as well have been in in Minnesota.
Okay,
so, yeah.
50. Okay. All right. Well, let's have fun over there.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
You know what? There are some great bars up there.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you. That's a very fun neighborhood now.
It's not too far from Loyola.
Right. It was once a scary neighborhood, now very fun. Good restaurants, good bars. I can give you
I'm excited
you get up there. Restaurant recommendation.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Is it a Rokan sneak joint, as they call them sometimes?
I think that term is inappropriately used.
Okay.
All right. So, let us talk about the I forgot now.
Well, we got a couple of things we can get to quickly. Nice. There's a movie called Family, which unfortunately, it's one of those titles. It means nothing, but it's got Taylor Schilling, who's the star of Orange is the New Black. If people have watched that, it's very funny, capable, and, you know, versatile actress. And she plays a modern-day business executive who's all about career, to the point when her brother calls and says, we need your help with the kid. She's like has to try to remember who the kid is. In fact, it's essentially the female Uncle Buck. Because remember Uncle Buck, when he got called, they couldn't find any sitters, and he's driving to the thing, oh, the kids, I wonder how old they are now. And then it's all about the bonding that takes place, because, of course, the one night of babysitting goes longer. The other interesting thing about this movie is at one point it takes us to a gathering of the Juggalos, or the Insane Clown Posse fans who dress up in the clown stuff and everything. So it's the first action comedy with a Juggalo twist, I can tell you that. So we've got a clip here. So here's Taylor Schilling. She's the businesswoman aunt who is not close at all with her family.
We need you to watch Maddie.
I'm sorry, who?
Your niece. I'd like you to fill out an order form for her to be in the proper attire.
You know, I just really don't want to.
I know, middle school is really the worst.
But then everything got better and you're fine now?
No, I'm usually in this place where I hate myself, but I still think that I'm better than everybody else, you know?
If you're staying long, some of the moms get together to do a Wednesday night potluck.
Okay.
Is everything okay?
No. I'm watching my niece for the week.
She's strange.
I think she prefers being alone and making weapons of nature.
It's a good line. There's a lot of really good writing in this film. And Kate McKinnon plays the busybody next door neighbor mom, who, of course, immediately has to get in the business of the new aunt who's there. And, of course, they're all walking around in the neighborhood in their Lululemon pants. And there's a moment where Kate McKinnon says, it's time to put on your mommy hat. And the response comes, it's time to put on some real pants because I can see, and you can figure out how it goes from there. So it's an R-rated film. It's an R-rated film.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I'm giving this one 3 stars as well. If you liked Uncle Buck, it really is. It's almost like we talked a couple weeks ago, there was a movie that was kind of like The Karate Kid in its weird way. Mm-hmm. It's a new take on that. And then, you know, I think you'll see the Juggalos in a different light after this film. The Insane Clown Posse fans who at one point marched on Washington because they were being classified as a gang. Remember that about a year ago? And they actually got that overturned. They're not a gang. They're just very scary people who have that clown thing.
If you decide to dress as a clown and not get paid for it, you're a freak.
I'm afraid of the Juggalos, but just thought I don't. I never got the Insane Clown Posse. What's your favorite Insane Clown Posse song?
My favorite album is Insane Clown Posse 2.
Okay, yeah. Insaner.
I believe that it showed the evolution and the natural growth of their art. What is the name of that film again?
This film's called Family, which it's Family. Another one of those movies where, you know, gosh, Kai, come on, guys. Huh. You know, just call it Aunt Buck. Everyone know it'd be Uncle Buck with a woman, you know.
Interesting. And is that going also to the...
Yeah, it's in some local theaters. It's in, actually quite a few, but, you know, your easiest bet is that one is another one of the Netflix machine, which never stops cranking out.
And Netflix movies. It will be on Netflix next week.
Immediately.
Or
no, like these
right
are
now?
Both Family and the Stockholm movie, I think tomorrow, if not tonight, if you just Google them.
You're
they're available.
Me.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy how this is
simultaneous
happening?
Platform releases. You know, they're doing, look, Netflix does not care that the studios are mad at them about this. They're going to occasionally, with films like Roma, they'll put them in a theater so it can get an Academy Award. But, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the Highwaymen, which was the Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, right?
And
that was, it was like, oh, it's in theaters for a week. And there have been things like the Beyonce concert film, which I think could have gotten a nomination for Best Documentary and now can't because it went straight to Netflix. It could be nominated for an Emmy.
Because sometimes they play that, let's play it in one theater, a few theaters,
yes,
and then go to Netflix just to be considered. But
and I think they just believe that that's a different audience and it's not really going to hurt the film's performance. In other words, the people they're targeting probably weren't going to go to the theater this weekend, even if they weren't up against Endgame.
So what's the economy of that? I don't understand the business model.
Well, they don't share anything because they don't have to. They'll tell you, well, you can see, first of all, you can see they renew certain series and they don't renew other series, even some really, you know, ones that seem to be popular.
So got a movie. Let's say I'm making a movie. I'm making Godfather 6,
yes.
Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
That's
a good one. I'd watch that with you.
Interesting.
And now I got to decide, I know it's going to be a pretty big movie, but it's not going to be a gigantic movie. So I got to do something with it. I think the Electric Boogaloo piece is killing it. And Netflix, and I want to go into theaters, and that there's an expense to going into the theaters, but I want to do that. And Netflix comes to me and they pay me a crazy amount of money to put it on Netflix first.
Yeah, and
along,
you know,
with this.
And the
movie exhibitors don't care?
No, they hate it. That, you know, they're battling every way they can, and a lot of, you know, Steven Spielberg's kind of led the charge saying it's not a movie if it doesn't play in a theater. You know, he's you know, and he a lot of other filmmakers know, and the studios don't like it one bit. Not really a lot they can do. And, you know, Netflix, what they've done too, almost all of us, if you sign up for Netflix and then you see your ex-girlfriend still is one of the five people using it 3 years later, because you can have five people use your account. You know, I don't know anybody, and I'm sure some people have for either economic reasons or, you know, but every time they'll knock it up another buck or two and no one cares. You're going to pay. So they're getting tens of millions of people who started off getting Netflix movies in their mailbox, you know, originally. Once you have Netflix, people just live in that universe. So they're making a ton of money and they're throwing out all kinds of money. And you look at somebody like Adam Sandler, who is 50 now, you know, and all those comedies that weren't necessarily critical hits in most cases, but always made a lot of money, those fans are now in their 40s and 50s. So he signed a 6-picture deal with Netflix because he's smart enough to realize his last few movies, even, you know, 8-10 years ago, weren't doing the kind of business they were doing because that audience wasn't going to theaters anymore.
Right. Well, that's
but
true.
If you see that Adam Sandler and Chris Rock are going to play the father of the groom and bride, respectively, in a comedy on Netflix, which was out last year, you're going to click on it if you're an Adam Sandler fan.
And I don't know what Netflix is charging me. I have no idea.
That's
exactly
right,
Rokan. It's not a significant number. That's the thing, right? I mean, it's not like DirecTV or some of these other services.
Yeah, but it did just go up. It goes up, you know, every once in a while. And they have so much content. But then, you know,
and where are they charging? Can anybody find where they're charging me?
I don't know. I think it's on my Discover card or something like that. Or my Diners Club.
Diners Club.
The standard plan goes up a buck to $8.99 from $7.99.
So it's
while it's standard plan with HD quality, the most popular offering will increase from $10.99 to $12.99. It's premium plan.
That's per
which
month,
you
right?
Probably
have. Yeah.
It went up to $15.99.
What do I get for the premium plan? I don't even know what I have.
Probably some advanced looks at movies. But if you look at that, you say, okay, $15 a month, that's one ticket to one movie.
Totally.
So
and
a lot,
no popcorn
and again,
or $6
have,
water.
You know, you see this because they have, you know, a kid's control. So, you know, Anna could have a filter set up for her daughter.
We do.
Right?
You can log in as yourself.
So, you know, for the average person, they're like, gosh, you know, if it's $150 a year, it would be about 3 outings to the movies, maybe 2 with
plus,
a sitter and everything.
I get sick of not getting to see new movies because you got to get a sitter and it's much more of a hassle. canceled. They're on as many of those spur of the moment.
Yeah, and they said, like, you know, for example, remember Bird Box, the Sandra Bullock horror film that was released right over the holidays. Now, they claim some insane number, but, you know, they said it was maybe the most popular original release they'd ever seen. They got the equivalent of that movie making $300 million in the theater.
In terms of numbers of eyeballs.
In terms of numbers of eyeballs. Yeah. They're never going to get $300 million to see that movie, and not even close, you know, box office, you know, theatrically.
So what is Netflix paying for that, do you think?
A lot. I mean, they're throwing a lot of money around. That I know that much for sure.
See,
like the John Mulaney's and the comics, like they are just, like, that is the new syndication deal. You know, back in the day when every comic in the world had a syndicate or a sitcom deal, development deal, what do they call it?
Development deal.
Yeah, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, everybody, you know, and it's because a lot of them turn out to be, you know, big hit shows, Drew Carey and Roseanne and Seinfeld and everybody. Now the goal of a lot of comics is to get a 3-special or a 6-special Netflix deal. And you see
getting multiple millions of dollars per special.
You're getting a lot of money. And I'll see, wow, that's really cool. Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle signed a deal. Yeah. And then I see somebody I've never heard of and they're playing Madison Square Garden because they were on Netflix last year.
Well, you know? Sebastian, that's what he just did. I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah. So it's working. You know, they're a giant, and I know it scares a lot of the studios. Well, the studios, you know, listen, you've been making superhero movies and very well and not paying attention to a lot of the other fare out there. So, you know, for example, you know, there's a movie called Wine Country coming out with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch. And it's like, that's a Netflix film.
That goes right to Netflix.
Yeah. I think that one might get a little theatrical release. But Zac Efron is playing Ted Bundy in a movie that caused a lot of controversy because people are saying, is it going to glorify him or whatever? That's a Netflix movie coming out next
week. Well, Infinity Wars, you said that we should see it before the new Avengers. That's on Netflix now.
Yeah, and they do that a lot, too, where they'll position something. And they still, you know, to this day, I think the most popular offering in the history of Netflix is The Office, you know, because people just watch it over and over and over again.
Right.
You know?
It's like, I'm doing that with friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
right there for you at any time to pop on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it goes away, though, but it always ends up. Then it goes to Hulu or to.
Yeah.
How much am I paying for all this?
Paying a lot.
I got Xfinity. I got DirecTV.
You got probably Amazon. You got the Amazon to watch some of their series. All of the other.
I get free shipping though now.
You know, that's nice. Sometimes you can go to a little place.
They're taking that away. Did you see that? They're going to take that away as part of your thing for the Prime.
I like going to those little Amazon stores where you pop in a code and then just one of the magic boxes opens up and there's your socks that you ordered. Like, you know, because you go in there, you put a barcode, and then you don't know which locker is going to open up. And then if you look through the locker, you can see the humans back there that are putting everything in place. It's pretty cool.
I feel like I'm in some weird futurist dream right now.
Yeah. But I think this is all, honestly, also we're talking about, I see it more positive. I know some people say, oh, Netflix taking over the world. It's like, well, keep up, you know, and Amazon has stepped up their game in terms of original Hulu. Apple keeps claiming they will.
I don't know what happened with the Hulu.
They were first, you know, in terms of, like, they were there, and it just...
And I find myself less on Hulu, unless I want to watch... Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's absolutely true.
I think I'm paying for the premium there, too.
Netflix.
I'm sure I am. I always click that first, and then the next thing you know, I got a bill for my television. I am paying more than I paid for my first home, for my television in my home.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it, HBO alone could be more than what Netflix costs to add that to your
and it's
cable.
All the HBO packages. And, of course, you know, HBO wisely, of course, about 3-4 weeks ago had all kinds of special offers, and they know that a ton of people will sign up for Game of Thrones, and then they'll leave after 2 months, and they're like, that's fine. You know, we got your $50. And they're, you know, if you talk to the HBO people, like, yeah, that's what's happening. That's great.
Doing.
Come on. And maybe they'll check out, you know, they do have other really good series on there as well. You know, maybe they'll become a fan of Veep or Barry or any of their other offerings.
And I do that again because you're already staring at the home screen trying to see what else you might like. So,
and next week I'm going to have for you guys, I know this is a Netflix film too. It's a documentary about AOC. Taking the world by storm. So I know that a lot of the MAGA fans are going to want my review of that. You know, that'll be just so much fun.
Oh, you're going to get 47,000 responses to that, too.
Yeah, probably a little different.
Not exactly the same.
Hoping to get, you know, like a Donald Trump Jr.
There will be a lot of suggestions that you get a colonoscopy.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What do you got in the newsroom? Something passed my earball a second ago, and I got to figure this out. Lauren, what did you just say about Hubbard Street?
Yeah, I was very confused about it as well. It's
yes.
closed westbound between LaSalle and Clark.
Uh-huh.
This is the reason given. Due to road surface collapse. So I don't know if we're all just going down. Like, this is the beginning of the end, and the world is imploding.
I think that's code for one major pothole.
Okay. I hope that's all it is. Normally, they don't put that up here. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Is there something at the Boss Bar tonight, guys? Because that's outside
it, right?
The Boss Bar.
Yeah. Between Hubbard, right there. Between LaSalle and Hubbard. Yeah.
Clark. LaSalle and Clark. It's on
those
Hubbard.
Other bars.
There's always a change. Yeah. I have just noticed this. Many nights I have gone to that particular place, I have fallen into a gigantic hole.
Yeah, well, you could have pulled me out of a couple, buddy.
An emotional
for
run. The,
for a certain run there.
Yeah. Some crazy things that go on around there. Wow. Okay.
So that's happening.
Yeah. That's just something to do.
Now, some kind of confirmation.
I did notice that they did it westbound, though. So that's only one lane.
Yeah, just one side.
Going that way. All right, so that way you'd be going toward the.
Could you make it to Boss Bar? Yeah,
then you could make it to the Pink Taco then, on your way if you're going that way, right? If you're going westbound,
is the Pink Taco across from the Boss Bar?
It's just within a projectile vomit from. I love the Pink Taco. It's a fantastic place for tacos.
Yeah, well, that Hubbard Street.
Who doesn't love a Pink Taco?
That Dang, Hubbard easy, Street Jeff. Is very. See what happened. What had happened was, when the city fathers decided on Hubbard Street.
Yeah,
because you know that's like that Hubbard Street would have been where Jean-Baptiste Pointe de Sable would have been a bar hopping on Hubbard Street.
That's true.
Right?
But wasn't it a seedy area?
Oh, very
right there, and that little incredibly. Area there was. There's still a few
remarkably
remnants.
That one adult bookstore
still
is
there.
Still there.
I know.
Right next, right on Hubbard, right between Clark and LaSalle.
Next
and
to
I'm
Parasol.
Fascinated by it because. Who has to go to that adult bookstore in the year 2019?
Plus, it's so public that you just would be flaunting the fact that you're coming and going with hundreds of people.
Yeah,
out
there's
on the
no
streets.
Side door or anything.
No,
but it's just like,
right there.
What could they? I'm afraid to go in, but I'm like, what could you get a book? Like you're going to read a book that's adult nature. I'm sure there's videos too, but like who's going in there?
As far as I'm concerned, every book is an adult book because kids don't read any books.
Yeah,
but
they're defying the technology, I'll tell you.
All right, I want to throw something here to you, and that is that it's a real estate play. Because that guy who owns that thing is sitting on a gigantic piece of real estate, and I don't know why. Because they opened
up. Why would he sell?
They've opened up two restaurants that are owned by the same company on either side of that guy.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I believe at one point they wanted to combine the effort there so they could, you know, maybe maximize the space.
Gotcha.
And that guy was not moving on that.
And maybe he overplayed his hand at some point.
I don't know.
You know what? Fine. It's very odd to see it there because the Starbucks is right there too, right? So you sit outside, you have all these little yuppie kids. What's that store with the yellow light?
I will say, though, if you get onto Hubbard, and it's weird, it's tough because Hubbard is what Division Street was when we were kids, right?
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
it's
that's
just.
A
good- Just you know, bars for the youngins to go out and you know do
it's
all kinds of
insane there on
things.
Saturday nights.
It is insane. The crazy thing, you talk to cops who work in the neighborhood, and that is one of the. It's just one of the wildest scenes.
And
because
there's a lot in not always in uniform working there these days because there's so much going on.
And there's a lot of there's the calls for service. There's more than a dozen calls for service of I lost my car. Which are people who shouldn't be getting in their car to drive away anyway.
I was walking home last summer. I think I might have texted you, Ron. It was late, but I was oblivious. I'm just walking home. Then all of a sudden I came upon Hubbard. It looked like Mardi Gras there at 1:30 in the morning. And there's a lot of girls. I don't know how they got into those skirts. And they're all yelling at their Lyft driver, you know, over here.
Yeah,
we're over
a lot
here.
Of double and triple parking there. As
Which
people
one is ours? Yeah, it's crazy.
So I think what we're saying.
So that could have made it all collapse.
Just confirm Lauren's first fear is that if the end of the world were to begin, it would start on Hubbard
Avengers
Street.
Avengers Hubbard Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a gigantic hole starts, and it is like the underworld is now, it's like. Every evil being from the underworld is going to come up through that hole. Because half of them are there already.
Thanos
Everything that's
there.
Leaked into the sewers over there.
If we were taking Lauren through there, we'd have to give her one of those things like with the kids when the teachers have like the little rubber, like the strap, you know,
oh my God,
the rope,
the
so you don't
time
lose
we're
the kid.
Talking about this today.
Right. We actually put her on a leash earlier because she's got to go to the. I should mention this that Lauren and Kevin.
That's right.
Are next Thursday night, a week from right now. Here's
saw that.
7 days from exactly this moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lauren will be leading a procession.
Oh my God.
Followed by Kevin, who's in charge of watching her for this.
Oh man.
Because she's the smallest member of our team here.
Ever.
In terms of, no, that's not true.
Oh, that's not true.
That is not true.
That's right.
But she is.
Dinklage was an intern.
Right. Peter worked for us for a number of years. Before he goes, you know what? I want to be an actor. And they're like, you're not going to end up to be anything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how that all started. He said, I drink and I know things. And Rose said, you know nothing. And now somehow those lines ended up on that show.
So she's going to be leading a procession from Cork and Kerry at the park.
Oh, gosh.
And Cork and Kerry at the park is where they're going to be giving away. So next Thursday, Anna and I will be holding down the fort here.
Okay.
And then you got Kevin and you got Lauren there at, you know, on 33rd and Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
Or 33rd, as they say there. They are going to be in the bar doing their part of the show there. And then giving away tickets to the White Sox-Red Sox game. Pretty great.
Pretty awesome.
All brought to you by CH
Red
Vodka.
Sox, too. Man, that's great.
Chicago's hometown vodka. Which they're also selling a lot of on Hubbard. If I could, I'm bringing the whole
here we
thing
go.
Around home. Do you know what's also weird about that neighborhood that we're talking about where Hubbard is? If you the strangest street there is State Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unknown street. Now, you have the State Street, that great street, everybody's on State Street. State Street still has, as you're pointing out, the vestiges of what that neighborhood used to be. There are bars and like a club and some other things that you never even think about that the hipsters don't really go to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say hipsters, I mean just actually, you know, it's just out of college crowd. Doesn't even go to until they find it and then they try to make it their own and the people in those bars don't want it.
Oh, yeah. That's a couple of those bars I've walked by and there's always, like, you can see people on those bar stools no matter the time of day, but you would not go in there. That's
right.
Like every one of those Law and Order episodes. Chung, chung, they go in there and that's where they find the guy that tries to run out the back. He's running away!
It's right there in the middle of that prime real estate.
Yes.
There's still those bars.
There's
wasn't there Rossi's where you can go buy booze at 7 in the morning? You walk in there, it's like a liquor store.
All of a sudden, the guy that can't remember the name of the third president of the United States is still throwing out Rossi's. There's a convenience store there that if you walk by there, and you got to stand right in the corner there, they are continually playing opera and classical music on the loudspeakers, and that is an attempt to drive away undesirables who they believe will leave because of the opera playing.
That explains.
They will play. Yeah, you'll be standing on the corner there, and you'll say, where is that from? If you look up, you can see it's embedded in the ceilings there. They're 24/7, they're playing classical music and opera.
Yeah, well, they've had their run of issues over on that corner specifically.
Well, the Baton Club had to close down recently. I thought they cited real estate reasons. They have their other location. But they remember the drag queen show right there, not too far from there?
Who can forget it?
Mm-hmm.
Bachelorette parties for generations gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that
been there a
right.
lot.
So the real estate is just got, and I'm wondering who these
right,
like,
that
little
State
bar
Street thing
owners
is
are.
Really odd it there, is. That it's still, there's a lot of, yeah.
Because there's like four bars in a row. That you got to, like, you have to know a guy who has a criminal record to be able to get into the bar.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
You don't feel comfortable.
You walk in,
and
there's like people, we're closed. You're like, but there are people at the bar, the TV's on, and they're serving drinks. They're like, we're not open right now.
There is one bar there, though, the name of which it really does escape me at the moment.
Huh.
It might be the one.
On State?
It's On State, where it's like it's the bands that were hot in the 80s. Used to go in there when they would play downtown.
Mm.
And now when they come back as a retro band playing at House of Blues, they all go there.
Oh, wow.
I love those places.
Yeah, and if you walk in, you know, Axl Rose could be sitting at the bar, you know, if he happens to be in town. It's a weird, but you would never, but again, it's next to guys who, you know, have tattoos on their forehead.
Yeah, and you're right, and you know, you go down a couple blocks and there's all these very trendy, you know, nice bars and dinner places and all that. Crazy area.
It is.
And now apparently just half a street.
right. Hubbard has disappeared into the earth. Which, you know what? Again, would not surprise anyone.
A lot has happened on those streets.
Hubbard, right now, the devil's like, hey, wait a second. I don't need this. I don't need this crap down here. Send that back up there. Put that back together.
That's fantastic.
Snickers. Are you talking about Snickers?
I'm not talking about Snickers. Mm. I've been to Snickers.
These are the names of these places. Though.
Snickers is a 4 a.m.
You know it's trouble,
joint.
Right?
Yeah. Never say to any, I've never said to anybody, you know, hey, nice to meet you on Match.com. I'll meet you at Snickers.
Mm-hmm. Well, at Snickers, I just know that's a lot of regulars. And there's a very specific scene there, too.
Hmm.
You know? And nobody wants nobody sent. You hear me?
Not okay. A Knarble in the near future from Snickers. They're not going to be rolling
so.
In.
I don't think
this
so.
This is a can of Schlitz.
No, they're not the ones that want. See, the people who are on the Knarble wagon like a little publicity.
Sure, yeah. They like to invite people to come right. in and feel at home.
Some of the other bars there are not the kinds of bars that want the publicity.
Oh, I got you.
What are you doing here?
It'd be kind of funny.
All right.
We got pretzels. What else? What's on the menu? I don't know.
Don Kleppen, what's going on in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom?
Well, we now know the cause of death for 5-year-old AJ Friend of Crystal Lake.